Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Rain-induced day off yesterday, the Quad Cities River Bandits are back in action here in Southwest Michigan as they get set for Game 3 of a six-game series against the High A affiliate of the Detroit Tigers, the West Michigan Whitecaps. Hello again, everybody. Kyle Kirchva with you here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Wherever you're tuned in from tonight, we're so glad you're here for Game 3 of this series and Game 6 of the River Bandits 2024 season. The Bandits are coming in having lost each of the first two games against West Michigan this series, but it's worth noting that they did lead at least once in each of those first two games. Back on Tuesday, Quad Cities took a lead in the seventh inning. At one point, they were up 5-4, but were outscored 6-3 over the final three innings of the ball game to eventually lose 10-6. In the Bandits' last game on Wednesday, they were up 1-0, scoring the game's only run in the third inning to that point. But then they tied the game up. West Michigan, that is, tied the game up in the fifth inning at 1. And then the Bandits would be outscored 3-2 over the final second half of the ball game, and the River Bandits would fall 4-3 despite out-hitting the Whitecaps 9-5. So the Bandits have been in the first two games of this series despite two losses. They'll look to take the lead and hold on to the lead on what's going to be an extremely blustery night here at LMCU Ballpark. I know we talked a lot about the win during the River Bandits home opening series last weekend, but this right now is giving that series a run for its money. The wind is blowing 20, 30 miles an hour consistently with gusts up to 50 miles per hour, meaning anything hit in the air tonight could be quite the adventure. Trash cans have been blowing over, and even the batter's eye in center field here at LMCU Ballpark has been essentially split in half. It's still usable. Both managers said we're good to go and to play tonight, but it's worth keeping in mind as we make our way through Game 3 of this six-game series. We're going to take a quick break here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. When we come back, we'll wrap up the pregame show with a quick look back at the Bandits' last game on Wednesday. There were lots of positives in that contest despite the loss. And we'll also get to the lineups for this Friday night edition of River Bandits Baseball as Quad Cities looks for their first win here in West Michigan since 2019. The Bandits pregame show continues in just a moment on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Welcome back inside the broadcast booth here at LMCU Ballpark. Game 3 of the 6-game set between Quad Cities and West Michigan set to get underway in a little less than 10 minutes here in the Eastern time zone. Quickly, let's take a look at some of the positives that came out of the Bandits' loss on Wednesday. The biggest story for the Bandits certainly was the 22-year-old lefty Hunter Owen, who made his first start as a member of the River Bandits in his first professional start after 3 seasons at Vanderbilt. Owen, a fourth-round pick by the Royals last year, threw the Bandits' first quality start of the season. He gave up 2 runs, but just 1 earned in 6 innings, working mostly around the 4 hits, no walks, and 6 strikeouts. His curveball, in particular, was very solid, and the Royals' number 23 prospect put together a really good High A starting debut after making his professional debut technically on opening weekend back in Davenport, working 1 inning out of the bullpen and tossing a scoreless frame against the South Bend Cubs. But now he figures to be a mainstay in the River Bandits starting rotation, and I already can't wait to see him take the mound once again, most likely during the Bandits' next series back at home against Peoria starting next Tuesday. Offensively, the Bandits had 9 hits. That was 4 more than West Michigan, and they had a couple of guys reach multiple times in the game. Spencer Nivens had 4 plate appearances and reached 3 times with his first multi-hit game of the season, a couple of singles and a walk, plus his first stolen base of the year. Speaking of stolen bases, Jared Dickey added 2 to his season total and picked up another hit. Dickey continues to produce in the lineup for Quad Cities. And Dustin Dickerson came through with probably the biggest hit of the game for Quad Cities. It came in the top of the 7th inning to give the Bandits their 2nd lead of the game. It was a 2-out RBI single with the infield in, protecting against a runner at 3rd base. He blooped one over the 2nd baseman, Ceretti, and gave Quad Cities a 3-2 advantage that, unfortunately for the Bandits, wouldn't last long. In the bottom half of the 7th, Andrew Jenkins, the 1st baseman for the Whitecaps, stepped to the plate and picked up his 2nd hit of the game with a 2-run homer, which gave West Michigan a 4-3 lead they would never let up. Now, we turn the page to this Friday night edition of River Bandits Baseball. Let's get you the starting lineups for this contest. First, for the homestanding West Michigan Whitecaps, as put together by manager Tony Cappicelli, who's now in his 2nd year here at LMCU Ballpark. Leading off, it's Seth Stevenson, the center fielder. He'll be followed by the left fielder Carlos Mendoza, and then Max Anderson will bat 3rd and play 2nd base. Isaac Pacheco is back in the lineup. He'll be the Whitecaps DH and bat cleanup. Roberto Campos bats 5th and plays right field, and batting 6th, it's the switch-hitting 3rd baseman, Danny Ceretti. Andrew Jenkins is back at 1st, batting 7th. Peyton Graham bats 8th and plays short. And batting 9th, it's the catcher, Jose Cibrian, who makes his first appearance in this 6-game series. On the mound for West Michigan, it's the 24-year-old right-hander from Indianapolis, Indiana, Garrett Burhan. He was a 9th-round pick by the Tigers back in 2021 and is now beginning his 3rd season of time here in West Michigan. He got a taste of high A back in 2022, making 4 appearances and 3 starts for the Whitecaps after beginning the year in single-A Lakeland. But last year, the whole campaign was spent in West Michigan, and he put up solid numbers with a 4.04 ERA in 93 2/3 innings. He'll make his 2nd appearance and 2nd start for the Whitecaps tonight. Now, the Quad Cities River Bandits lineup, as put together by manager Brooks Conrad, who's in his 3rd season leading the Bandits. Leading off, it's the center fielder Carson Rockefort. Carter Jensen will bat 2nd and do the catching. And batting 3rd, it's number 22, Trevor Werner. He will also play 3rd. Batting 4th, over at 1st base, it's Brett Squires. Spencer Nivens will bat 5th and play left. And batting 6th, it's Cale Emshoff, who will serve as the DH. Jared Dickey is batting right, back in right field, batting 7th. Jack Pineda is over at second base hitting eighth, and batting ninth, it's the shortstop, Dustin Dickerson. On the mound for Quad Cities, it's the Kansas City Royals' number four prospect, a former second-round pick three drafts ago, Ben Kuderna, who, like Burhan, had a lot of time with the Bandits last year, but most of his success came in single-A. Kuderna was the opening night starter for Quad Cities last Friday at Modern Woodman Park. He'll get his first start of the year on the road tonight. Last year with Quad Cities, Kuderna posted a 5.36 ERA in eight starts for the River Bandits, but he was one of the best pitchers in the Carolina League before getting his promotion to Quad Cities in the second half of the year. For the Fireflies, Kuderna pitched 68 in the third innings, had 70 strikeouts to 30 walks, and posted a 3.56 earned run average. The Bandits come into tonight's game 2-3 on the young season. West Michigan 3-2. Bandits looking to get back to 500 ball tonight before a doubleheader tomorrow to make up for yesterday's rainout, and then, of course, the series finale Sunday afternoon. Just a couple of moments away from first pitch here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. We're going to pause for the national anthem, and when we come back, we'll get game three of this six-game series underway live on the River Bandits Baseball Network. River Bandits baseball is back on the air. Welcome back to LMCU Ballpark here on the River Bandits Baseball Network as Quad Cities continues its first trip to West Michigan since 2019 and this six-game series. Game three of it coming up here in just a moment as Garrett Burhan, the starter for the Whitecaps, will stand out on the bump and complete his warm-up tosses to Jose Cibrian. Let's set the defense behind him as the wind continues to whip through northern Grand Rapids. Left to right in the outfield, it'll be Mendoza, Stevenson, and Campos. Up the middle at short and second, it's Graham and Anderson, respectively. Ceretti will play third base, Jenkins is at first, and the aforementioned Cibrian will make his first start of the series for Tony Cappuccelli. Burhan, as I mentioned, a ninth-round pick by the Tigers back in 2021. He stands out on the bump at 6'3", 210 pounds, and hails from Indianapolis, Indiana. He was a former Ohio State product, played 3 years for the Buckeyes over in the Big Ten, and just last year was a top 30 prospect in the Detroit Tigers organization. He is no longer on MLB Pipeline's rankings, but it really hasn't been any fault of his own. It's just the improved state of the Tigers' farm system, which has pushed him below the cut line. and he'll look to build on a really solid 2023 with his second start of the season tonight. Carson Rockefort, Carter Jensen, and Trevor Werner will be the first three men up to face him this evening. Ian Durkin has got balls and strikes as the home plate umpire, and out on the bases, it's Alex Shears. Rockefort in the box, ready to rock. On its way, the first pitch from Burhan is dribbled softly out in front of the hill. Burhan will field it himself and throw on to first to retire Rockefort on just one pitch. So quickly, one out on the board. The first pitch temperature tonight officially clocking in at 53 degrees Fahrenheit. But as I mentioned during the pregame show, it is incredibly windy out there. We're talking consistent 20 to 30 mile per hour winds with gusts all the way up to 50. Catcher Carter Jensen in the box, the left-handed swinger. Burhan's first pitch to him is looped in the air towards shallow left, pushing towards the line. This one's going to land for a fair ball and extra bases. Mendoza won't even throw it towards Anderson at second base, and Carter Jensen is in with a one-out double on the second pitch of the ball game. One of the big keys for Carter Jensen this year is getting a little more aggressive at the plate. We already know of his fantastic discipline, but now scouts and Royals organization personnel want to see Jensen hit for a little more power and a little more average, and both of those numbers going up after a first inning double. So he's in scoring position. Burhan moves into the stretch, and he'll face the Bandits third baseman Trevor Werner, the first right-handed bat Burhan will see today. The 24-year-old fires into Werner. He takes a swing. It's off the glove of Cibrian, who can't squeeze it. It's a strike on Werner, but up to third goes Jensen on either a wild pitch or a pass ball. I'm going to lean pass ball, but we'll see what the official score here at the ballpark tells us. So now the Whitecaps are going to have to move the infield in after just four pitches. Werner with one RBI through his first five games. First pitch after the pass ball is cut on and missed in the dirt. It's a strike, 0-2. So officially a PB in your scorecard. Looked to be a tie-up, or rather a miscommunication, between Burhan and Cibrian. Werner in an 0-2 hole with one out, infield in. Burhan delivers. The breaking ball is low and away. A good take, 1-2. Burhan has an interesting arsenal. He basically has two pitches that each branch off into two pitches of their own. More on that in a second. 1-2. Swing and a miss. There's the sweeping slider. Werner's down on strikes for the second out, and there are two away. Werner now with 10 strikeouts this season. That paces the Bandits early on this summer. So for Burhan, he's got two fastballs, a four-seamer and a two-seamer, and then he throws a slider, which he can throw as the sweeping slider, which he just struck out Werner on, and he also can throw just a short little slider that's closer to a cutter. So he's got some good variability in his two primary pitches while also having a changeup in his arsenal. Brett Squires will take a swing at the first pitch, and that was the changeup. Squires out in front with a whiff for strike one. Squires batting .333 in his first 16 at-bats as a River Bandit. He's been in this cleanup spot very often for Brooks Conrad. 0-1, grounded sharply to the right side, but a backhand stop from the first baseman Jenkins will result in the third out. He takes it to the bag himself, and the first inning comes to a close. Quad Cities, as they've done far too many times to start this season, strands a man in scoring position. Nothing comes to the one-out double. Carter Jensen back in the dugout, but just momentarily, he'll be catching Ben Kuderna, Quad City starter, and the Royals' number four prospect, who's ready to make his second appearance of 2024. Scoreless through one half frame, bottom of one, up next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Quad City strands its first base runner of the game at third in their half of the first inning. So we're scoreless entering the bottom of one. And the right-hander Ben Kuderna completes his warm-up tosses ahead of his second start of the year and his 40th career start after being taken in the second round by the Royals in the 2021 draft out of Blue Valley Southwest High School over in Kansas. You got the full Kansas City battery today with Kuderna and Jensen. Those two working a lot together in single-A Columbia and now here with high-A Quad Cities. Stevenson, Mendoza, Anderson. The first three men due up for the Whitecaps here in the bottom of the first. Kuderna out of the windup. First pitch is a fastball, and it's a bit low, 1-0. Stevenson got a break last Wednesday. 1-0 in the dirt. Two balls and no strikes. But in game one of the series on Tuesday, he had a very productive game. Reached base in three out of six plate appearances with a single, a double, and a bases-loaded walk. 2-0 in the dirt. Again, three balls, no strikes. Kuderna immediately looks down at his feet, maybe having some issues with the footing early on. Stevenson's playing in his fifth game for the Whitecaps, batting .235 this season. No homers and one driven in. 3-0 pitch. Outside, ball four. It's a four-pitch walk to start the game for Kuderna. And there's some early traffic aboard. But now the two-hole hitter, Carlos Mendoza. He's the guy who batted leadoff in Stevenson's absence last Wednesday. But he went 0-4 despite his career numbers suggesting he's an ideal leadoff man. Squires holds the runner at first. The left-handed batter Mendoza will take a fastball right down the middle, and it's 0-1. Kuderna's got a four-pitch mix. Fastball, sinker, changeup, and slider. The change is most certainly one of his best pitches. And on a night like tonight, where you need to keep the ball on the ground, it should come in handy. Mendoza asks for time with the pitch clock winding down, and now he'll do some landscaping in the left-handed batter's box. The American flag in left center field is rippling mightily towards the right field foul pole right now, straight in from basically left field. Kuderna ready. Off goes Stevenson. The 0-1 pitch is popped foul just over the broadcast booth and out of play. Stevenson got the jersey dirty for nothing. He's on his way back towards Brett Squires. As I mentioned in the pregame show, Ben Kuderna got the opening night start for Quad Cities, his first career opening night start. It was back on April 5th against the South Bank Cubs. Off goes Stevenson again, and the 0-2 pitch is once more popped foul over the screen, out of play. And that may have taken out a camera or something on its way down into the seats. But it looks like a fan made a great catch. She's holding the ball up in the air and getting all kinds of high fives and pats on the back just in front of the concourse. So after a four-pitch walk to Stevenson, Kuderna has responded with three straight strikes, including a couple of foul balls to Carlos Mendoza. Slightly open stance, he's ready to go again. Stevenson inching further towards second. He doesn't go this time, and the 0-2 fastball is up and in. Ball one. On opening night, Kuderna threw 3 2/3 innings, gave up two runs, both earned, with four strikeouts, but he wasn't his usual efficient self. That's why he was pulled in the fourth inning. Throw to first base. Back with a dive is Stevenson. Well ahead of the tag from Squires. Kuderna, who only one time in eight starts last year for the River Bandits threw less than five innings. Went 3 2/3 last Friday and needed 74 pitches to do so. Another throw to first, closer play, but Stevenson is back, his helmet rolling towards the first base coach's box. The throw from Kuderna a little bit to Squire's left. So the right-handed first baseman had to make the catch to his left and then swing the glove around, and that gave Stevenson an extra second to reach. Now he takes off on the 1-2. The pitch is low. The throw to second from Jensen is in time. Pineda slaps the tag on him. And Carter Jensen throws out his second would-be base stealer of the season for the first out in the bottom of the first. Stevenson perhaps a little bit worn out after trying to steal on two previous pitches and then having to dive back two times in a row on a pickoff attempt. 2-2 to Mendoza, slapped foul into the screen, and the count holds. It will be at least a seven-pitch at-bat. Mendoza, 24 years old. He signed as an international free agent with the Tigers back in 2019. He's sporting some nice turquoise cleats today. Now he'll take a breaking ball off the cleats. Looked like the slider got away from Kuderna and got Mendoza right on the top of his left foot. So Mendoza eventually wins the battle against Kuderna on what is the righty's first hit-by-pitch of the year. So once again, a man at first, but with one out. And the three-hole hitter, Max Anderson, at the plate, the dangerous second baseman. Kuderna peeks over his shoulder and now throws to first. Mendoza back with a head-first dive. Anderson is 4-for-8, batting .500 in this series, but he's also tied for the league lead with a .500 average on the year, including West Michigan's first three games of the season on opening weekend. He'll ground the first pitch over to short, could be two. Dickerson Fields flipped to Pineda for one, on to first in time for an inning-ending double play. So Ben Kuderna, despite a walk and a hit batsman, faces the minimum in a scoreless first inning and will bring the Bandits back to the plate to start the second. Scoreless through one on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. Bandits' second double play of the season helps Ben Kuderna get through a scoreless bottom of the first. And we are tied nothing, starting number two here at LMCU Ballpark. Kyle Kirchvel with you on the River Bandits Baseball Network tonight. Glad to be back with you after yesterday's rainout, which postponed a 12:05 first pitch to part of a doubleheader tomorrow afternoon starting at 2 o'clock. So if you don't get enough Bandits baseball in your system today, we've got you for a double dosage tomorrow. Spencer Nivens will lead it off for the Bandits here in the second inning. He'll foul the first pitch from Garrett Burhan over the left side and out of play for strike one. As I was mentioning in the pregame show, Nivens is coming off of his best game as a Bandit thus far. picking up a couple of singles and a walk, plus a stolen base on Wednesday. A one. Nivens takes the breaking ball low and inside. One ball, one strike. Wind still blowing, as you can probably hear over the crowd mic. Shadows starting to cover up the left side of the infield. 1-1 to Nivens. Low and outside with a changeup. 2-1. Nivens is playing in his fifth game for Quad Cities this year in what's his first season in high A. So far batting 214. 2-1 from Burhan. Fastball missed up. Three balls, one strike. Well, Ben Kuderna threw a couple of pitches out of the zone in the bottom of the first inning. Walked the leadoff man and then hit the second batter of the game, but faced the minimum with help of that aforementioned double play. 3-1, dribbled weakly to the right side. The ball with lots of side spin skips towards the first base coach's box and the count to 3-2. Bit of a changeup in the River Bandits coach's boxes. Brooks Conrad, the manager, still, of course, over at third base, but hitting coach Ryan Powers is taking care of first base today. 3-2. Swing and a miss. Burhan slows down Nivens for the breaking ball and picks up his second strikeout of the game. One down in the top of the second. The reason why Powers and not the usual suspect, Chris Corbett, is in the first base coach's box is because Chris and his wife Kylie are expecting their first child over the next couple of days. So a shout out to the Corbett family. We wish you all the best. Cale Imshoff at the plate. One out, base is clear. First pitch to the Bandits DH is low and outside for ball one. Imshoff playing in his second game in this six-game series. Back on Tuesday, he went 1-for-3 with a double and an RBI. 1-0. Upstairs, two balls, no strikes on Imshoff. Cale, 25 years old. He'll turn 26 on May 2nd, so closing in quickly on another trip around the sun. He's now spent parts of four seasons in Quad Cities as he takes a pitch on the lower outside corner. It was that sweeping slider. And it's 2-1. Imshoff is a right-handed hitter, but the defense has shifted towards right field, playing him to hit it the opposite way. 2-1. Fastball missed away. Three balls, one strike. Imshoff will serve as the DH primarily for the Bandits this year, but probably mix in some time at first base. 3-1. Wave and a miss. Nice cut from Imshoff, but he comes up empty, and the count's full. Burhan with 70 strikeouts and 93 2/3 innings last year for West Michigan. A strikeout per nine of just 6.7. But he's already got two Ks through an inning and a third tonight. Trying to make it three against Imshoff. Payoff pitch on its way. Got it. Strike three. Little short slider on the outer edge. Ian Durkin thought an extra second about the call, but he eventually rings up Imshoff for the second out. So two are down, and the bases are clear for Jared Dickey. Left-handed batter, who's getting the start in right field, as we've seen him doing very often for the Bandits to begin the year. Third baseman Siretti playing in just a step behind the grass, but Dickey pulls one to second. It one hops into the breadbasket of Anderson, and he gathers in time to throw to first to end the inning. That's a clean 1-2-3 frame for Garrett Burhan. He's through two scoreless innings with the help of three strikeouts. Home half of the second. Up next, we're scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Bottom of the second inning set to get underway here at LMCU Ballpark. Kyle Kirchva with you from Northern Grand Rapids here in what's technically Comstock Park, Michigan. But for all intents and purposes, Northern Grand Rapids, Ben Kuderda, ready to begin his second frame of work after what aesthetically was not the most beautiful first frame, but it was effective. He faced the minimum with help of a double play ball. And now he'll get the heart of the order for West Michigan, Pacheco Campos Ceretti. Right-hander Kuderna ready to work. First pitch to Pacheco, a left-handed bat, is in the dirt for ball one. The Bandits are back in action after the rainout yesterday. The decision was made to cancel the game, or postpone the game, I should say, really early on in the day. 1-0. Rolled foul to the right side. One ball, one strike. We got to the ballpark around 8:15, 8:30 a.m. knowing that there was a really high chance that it was going to rain basically all day. But at the time we got on the bus, the rain hadn't started yet. So everyone headed over, business as usual. 1-1 to Pacheco. High fly ball, left field. Nivens gets a read on it. The wind helping push the ball in. Nivens will make the squeeze on it for the first out. There's one away. But then eventually, at around 9:15, 9:30, the rain did start to fall, and there was no indication that it was going to stop for a while. So the Whitecaps just decided, you know what, let's move on from this one. As Campos takes strike one. So the Bandits were knowing already at about 10:30, maybe 10 o'clock, that they weren't going to play. 0-1. Fouled over the screen on the right side. 0-2. But that did not stop the Bandits from completing their pregame hitting routine. Guys were still down in the cages long after the postponement was official. And guys were still out tossing, taking advantage of what at the time was pretty light rain. As Campos takes a breaking ball low and away. 1-2. Those guys still get their work in. Obviously, if it's unsafe, coaching staff won't let him out there, but the issue was more of the continuous rain than the intensity, as Campos taps one foul to the left side, 1-2. But because they didn't play yesterday, the Bandits missed out on what was quite the evening for the Kansas City Royals farm system and just the Royals system in general. Of course, KC with a 13-3 win over the Houston Astros for their seventh straight victory, 1-2. Called strike three. Kuderna paints the lower inside corner, and Roberto Campos is the first strike out of the ball game for Ben Kuderna. Two down now in the bottom of the second inning. So the big league team gets its ninth win of the season. Royals look great right now. Vinny Pasquantino, a former Bandit, really starting to hit his stride. First pitch to Danny Ceretti, grounded towards the left side. The third baseman, Werner Fields, tough throw to first, but he gets it there in time, moving against the throw. And he gets the out 5-3 to retire Ceretti and give Ben Kuderna a second scoreless frame of work. More on the Astros farm system yesterday when we come back for the top of the third. We're scoreless at LMCU Ballpark. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Starting pitchers work a 1-2-3 second inning, and we are scoreless through two frames in game three of this six-game series. Top of the third will be led off by the Bandits' second baseman, Jack Pineda. He'll be followed by Dustin Dickerson, and then the top of the order, center fielder Carson Rockefeller. Garrett Burhan is making his second start of the year for the West Michigan Whitecaps, the 6'3", 210-pound 24-year-old. Back on the slab, ready to work, his bright white cleats shining on what's left of the sunlight on that portion of the field. Burhan looking into Pineda, first pitch on its way. Fastball, a bit up, maybe also outside, ball one. Jack, 2-for-6 in this series so far with a double, a pair of walks, and a stolen base. He's recorded hits in three straight contests. 1-0, high drive, deep left center field. Out goes Stevenson into the alley. He slams on the brakes as the wind helps push it down. And that's a decently loud out number one for Garrett Burhan. Now back to what the Bandits missed out on in terms of Royals Farm System success yesterday. If you're on Twitter, or I guess X, the app formerly known as Twitter, probably got these updates, but if you didn't, it's worth hearing about. As I mentioned, a 10-run win for the Royals over the Astros at the Major League level. First pitch to Dustin Dickerson tonight. Called strike, that short slider on the lower inside corner. The Storm Chasers, the AAA affiliate, and the Fireflies, the Single-A affiliate, both got 18-9 wins over their respective opponents. 0-1. Check swing, did he go? Yes, he did. Alex Shears, the field umpire, confirms it's strike two on the appeal. Dickerson chased the slider low and away. Storm Chasers beat Gwinnett 18-9. Former Bandit Logan Porter with 3-for-4 with a homer and 3 driven in. The pitch. Pop foul over the screen, out of play. And Drew Waters, the center fielder, who of course spent some time at the Royals last year, went 4-for-6 with a grand slam as part of a 7 RBI performance. It's not a bad day at the office. Bandit shortstop, Dustin Dickerson, trying to battle 0-2. The pitch from Burhan. Got him swinging. Strike three. Back to the slider and back to the bench for Dusty. That's 4 strikeouts for Burhan in a scoreless first trip through the Bandit's order. And there are quickly 2 outs for Carson Rockefeller, who steps to the plate. And then for the Fireflies, their 18-9 win was over the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, the Chicago Cubs single-A affiliate. Rockefeller to bounce out to the pitcher on the first pitch of the game. He takes strike one to start his second plate appearance. Austin Charles looking really good for the Fireflies yesterday. 3-for-4 with a homer, 4 driven in, plus 3 stolen bases. 0-1. Fastball missed up. 1-1 on Rockefeller. And then for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, the Royals AA affiliate, it was a completely opposite sort of game. 1-1. High fly, right field. Campos, though, barely has to move. The right fielder makes the catch, and it's a quick third inning for Garrett Burhan. Northwest Arkansas beating San Antonio yesterday, 2-0 in 10 innings. Gavin Cross, 2-for-4 with a go-ahead RBI double, and former Bandit Noah Cameron, 5 scoreless innings with 6 strikeouts. Where have we seen that before? Bottom of third, coming up next at LMCU Ballpark, 0-0 between the Bandits and the Whitecaps. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings,
corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Garrett Burhead cruises through the Bandits in the top of the third inning with a nine-pitch frame. The Whitecaps starter has now retired nine consecutive batters and has four strikeouts to start his night. Ben Kuderna, also a scoreless performance through two innings thus far. He'll begin his third against Andrew Jenkins, the right-handed hitting first baseman, whom he gets out in front of a changeup for strike one. Three straight righties due up for the Whitecaps. The 7, 8, and 9 hitters, Jenkins, Graham, and Cibrian. Kuderna now ahead 0-2 as Jenkins chases a slider low and away. Ben thus far, 23 pitches, 14 strikes. Make it 15 strikes as he gets Jenkins on another slider. Basically back-to-back pitches. And it's a three-toss strikeout of the man who gave the Whitecaps the go-ahead runs 2 days ago. So with the double play, that's six in a row retired for Kuderna. First pitch to Graham is lined towards second, but Jack Pineda is right there to make the squeeze. Johnny on the spot for out number two. Four pitches, two outs for Ben Kuderna in the bottom of the third. And now comes the nine-hole hitter, the catcher, Jose Cibrian. This is the second game of the year for Cibrian, a 25-year-old backstop from Barquisimeto, Venezuela. First pitch. Fastball on the outer edge, taken for strike one. Cibrian didn't love the call. Cibrian looking for his first hit of the year. He went 0-for-4 with a strikeout in his lone game of the summer on Sunday as Kuderna delivers one in the dirt. One ball, one strike. Cibrian, originally a Milwaukee Brewers prospect, but he signed as a free agent back in February with the Tigers. And they assigned him to High A West Michigan. Third pitch to Cibrian, low and away. The count 2-1. Cibrian making Kuderna work a little bit harder for this third out, but he swings away and breaks his bat, grounding one to short. Routine play for Dustin Dickerson, who gathers it up and throws over to Brett Squires for another 1-2-3 inning. Both starters locked in through the first third of the ball game. Top of four coming up next. Nothing but zeros here on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Ben Kuderna has three innings of scoreless, no-hit baseball under his belt already, but the starter for the Whitecaps, Garrett Burnett, has also been terrific. He's gone three scoreless, allowing just one hit with no walks and four strikeouts, including three of those Ks in the last two innings. He's retired eight River Bandits in a row, but he'll face the only guy who's reached against him thus far, Carter Jensen, to start the away half of the fourth. Jensen blooped the double down the left field line his first time up. Burhan kicks and fires. First pitch on the outer edge at strike one. Jensen used the wind to his advantage in the first inning. Popped one in between Cerretti and Mendoza on the left side of the field. Moved to third on a pass ball, but never scored. Fastball up and away. One ball, one strike to Jensen. Quad City still struggling with men in scoring position to start the year. They are batting just 7 for 48 in that situation. 1-1. Smacked deep right field. Campos, look it up. He'll watch it sail off the patio in right field. Carter Jensen smacks his first home run of the season, and the Bandits have a 1-0 lead. Well, if your team's not going to drive you in, just hit your cell phone. Carter Jensen starts out the game 2-for-2 with a double and a home run. And for the third time in as many games this week, the Bandits have a lead. They'll look to build on it now with Trevor Werner coming to the plate. What a swing from Carter Jensen. He was all over that one. Played it right off the Pioneer State Mutual Insurance side in right center field. As Werner tries to bunt at the first pitch, he comes up empty. Strike one. That's not usually a part of Trevor Werner's game, but tried to catch Cerretti by surprise. 0-1. Wave and a miss. Good slider. Nothing and two. That's the first home run that Burhan has allowed in a small sample size this year. Gave up just 7 in 93 and two-thirds innings with the Whitecaps last year. Werner struck out swinging his first time up. 0-2 pitch to him this time results in another strikeout. Werner out in front of a slider. It's 5 Ks for Burhan. And he responds to the homer with another strikeout on the second out of the inning. To the plate, Brett Squires. Base is clear for him. First pitch. Called strike again. Squires showing bunt and pulling back. It's 0-1. Brett, a bounce out to the first baseman back in the first. He's 2-for-8 to start the week. The pitch. Popped him up. Left side of the infield. Cerretti, the third baseman, calls off everybody and makes the catch for the second out. So nice stuff from Burhan. Gives up the homer and then gets two quick outs. Now he'll face Nivens with the bases clear. Now for Quad Cities, that home run, their third of the season. All three of those homers have come here at LMCU Ballpark. Spence ready to go, first pitch. On the lower outside corner, called strike one. As a team, the Bandits are slugging kind of middle of the pack. 352, 0-1. In the dirt, one ball, one strike. One thing that's helping them out in that category is three triples. All of those came on opening weekend against South Bend. But there's no other team in the Midwest League with even two triples, and the Bandits have three. 1-1. High fly, center field, straight away. Stevenson coming in. He'll make the catch, and the inning is over. Carter Jensen, though, gives the River Bandits their first lead of the ball game for the second straight ball game. This time, it's a solo shot, making it 1-0. Bottom of the fourth up next on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday,
throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
First run of our Friday night contest belongs to the Quad Cities River Bandits. Carter Jensen's first home run of the year, a solo shot over the right field fence, has made it 1-0 good guys. Bottom of the fourth underway with the top third of the order for West Michigan due up. Seth Stevenson, the center fielder, watch the first pitch from Ben Kuderna, miss low and outside, 1-0. Stevenson worked a four-pitch walk to open the game, but then was caught stealing by Carter Jensen. 1-0 pitch, a bit low, 2-0. Well, factoring that in, what a start it's been for the Royals' number 11 prospect. Jensen with a double, a homer, and a guy caught stealing. Can't do much better than that. 2-0. Changeup missed low, and again, Kuderna having some issues with his footing out there on the hill. 3 balls, no strikes, just as Stevenson saw in the first 3 pitches in the first. He delivers. There's a strike. It clips the outer edge. 3-1. Activity in the West Michigan bullpen right now. They've got a right-hander starting to get loose. Out of the wind, Kuderna's 3-1. Called strike. Another changeup. And the count runs full. Stevenson 2-for-6 in this series. A double, an RBI, and 2 walks, including the one in the first inning. Stevenson will ask for time, step out of the box, adjust the batting gloves, and then stroll back in. The pitch. Got him swinging. Strike 3. Beautiful off-speed stuff from Ben Kuderna. That picks up his 3rd strikeout of the game. 1 down in the home half of the 4th inning. Looks like it's Michael Beamline, number 39, who is warming in that first base pen. Garrett Burhan, 41 pitches through 4 innings of 1-run ball. Here's Carlos Mendoza for the 2nd time tonight. He'll take a pitch from Kuderna outside for 1. Mendoza hitless in the series thus far, but hit by a pitch in the first. 1-0. High fly ball, right side towards that first base bullpen. Dickey ranging over, running out of room. He can't get there. It lands right behind the bullpen catcher. And it's just a long strike. Well, the catcher down there, who I believe tonight to be Archer Brookman, did not move until the last moment. I don't think he knew the ball was there. If it had stayed in the air longer, Dickey's path to the ball may have been impeded upon, but no complaints from anybody. Maybe it was far enough behind him. It was no problem either way. So 1 ball, 1 strike on Mendoza. Bandits up 1-0 in the bottom of the 4th. Now time call. And again, Mendoza running the pitch clock down to the last second, or at least running down his time frame to be in the box to the last second. Now he's back in. Finally the 1-1. Foul ball off the facade on the left side and thuds into the suites. 1-2. Eight in a row retired for Kudernov. He's looking for his fourth K. The pitch. In the dirt. Couldn't get Mendoza to chase. Kudernov last year for Quad Cities. 34 strikeouts and 40 in a third innings. A career low in terms of strikeout per nine innings. Pitch. Just off the plate inside. Kudernov thought it was strike three, but instead the count goes full. Got three strikeouts in the ball game tonight, trying to make it four against Mendoza. The pitch. See ya! Fastball on the lower outside corner, and he's got that K. Back-to-back punch-outs for the former second-round pick. And that's a great way to start an inning against the top third of the batting order. Leadoff guy down on strikes, two-hole hitter down on strikes. Now here's Anderson. He'll take high for ball one. Like Kudrna, Max, a former second-round pick, but the Tigers took him in last year's draft. Anderson, also a Kansas City native, as he takes a strike, 1-1. He's from straight-up Kansas City, Missouri. Kudrna, born in Shawnee Mission, Kansas, a suburb of Kansas City. Yes. This toss is low and outside, 2-1. Kudrna went to Blue Valley Southwest High School, where he led the Timberwolves to a 23, make that a 22-3 record back in 2021. The pitch. Sharp grounder to second. Gobbled up by Pineda. He tosses over to first and the inning. That's the third straight perfect frame for Ben Kudernov. And he's kept the Whitecaps off the board through four innings of play. 1-0 Bandits. We go to five on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Garrett Burhead made all of one mistake through his four-inning start tonight, but now West Michigan will turn to the bullpen. It's the righty Michael Beanline who will start the game off against Cale Imshaw for his game, I should say. Cale takes outside for ball one. Imshaw, Dickey, Pineda due up to greet the new Whitecaps pitcher. 1-0. Line drive, center field, sinking on Stevenson. It lands in front of him for a base hit. Cale Imshaw with his second knock of the series and his third of the year gives the Bandits a leadoff base runner in the fifth. That's the first hit for the Bandits coming from somebody other than Carter Jensen, who gave the Bandits the 1-0 advantage with a solo shot for Burhan's only mistake back in the fourth inning. Third baseman Ceretti playing in against Dickey. The Bandits right fielder fouls one straight back to the screen. It's strike one. Well, Beanline, 26 years old, a 24th round pick by the Tigers back in 2019. has spent parts of four consecutive seasons with the Whitecaps, going back to 2021. 0-1. Foul ball off the end of the stick, again into the screen. Nothing in two. This is the 51st career appearance with the Whitecaps for Beanline, which is spelled B-I-E-N-L-I-E-N. Emshoff away from first, held by Jenkins. 0-2 to Dickey. No, it's a throw over, and Emshoff is back with a dive. It's the second appearance of the year for the Springfield, Virginia native. Beanline through two-thirds of an inning in game one of the Whitecaps doubleheader on Saturday. Didn't allow a run and struck out one. 0-2 to Dickey. Fastball up and away. Not close enough to induce a chase. Including a ground out to second base in the second, Dickey is 3-for-9 in the series with a home run, which came on Tuesday as the Bandits' first of the year. Two RBIs and two stolen bases as time is called. Cale Emshoff adjusting his belt over at first base. Something may have broken. Andrew Jenkins just threw something off the dirt onto the grass. And Ryan Powers, the Bandits' first base coach, is adjusting his belt. I think they swapped. Cale had a faulty piece of leather, and now Ryan Powers will have to hold up the trousers. Back to action, the 1-2. Check swing, Dickey chased a breaking ball in the dirt. That's going to be strike three and the first down of the inning. Well, Emshoff must have broken his belt diving back into first base on the pickoff attempt. And instead of trying to mend it, he'll just say, hey, swap with me. So Ryan Powers already doing some big stuff his first night of the season in the first base coach's box. Man at first, one out for the second baseman, Jack Pineda. First pitch, rifled foul over the left side. It soars over the sweets out of play for strike one. Jack, a fly ball to center field his first time up. Put a pretty good swing on it, but Mother Nature wasn't going to let that be anything other than a can of corn catch. Long pause for Beanline. Now the 0-1. Grounder to second. Anderson's got it. Flip to Graham for one. On to first. Not in time. Jack Pineda beats it out. Good wheels from the former Baylor Bear to save the inning-ending double play from occurring. He'll swap spots with Emshoff on the fielder's choice. So two outs and a man aboard for the nine-hole hitter, Dustin Dickerson. Quad City's up 1-0 in the top of the fifth inning. They've got all three of the game's hits. Ben Kuderna has been terrific for the Bandits. Sands the hit batsman in the walk in the first inning. It's been nothing but outs since then. First pitch inside to Dusty. It's 1-0. Dickerson now in his second year with Quad Cities after getting a taste of pro ball with the River Bandits last year. Former Southern Miss product, the pitch. Low and outside, 2-0. Dustin's got some great baseball genes in his family. His father, Bobby Dickerson, is an infield coach on the Philadelphia Phillies staff. He played in the minors from 1987 to 1993. 2-0. That's low and outside, 3-0. He went to West Jones High School in Mississippi, where he hit and pitched. Batted 314 with 26 ribbies and went 8-1 on the mound with a 180 ERA as a senior. He awaits the 3-0 pitch, Beanline deals, and the fastball beelines to the middle of the zone for strike one. How many times do you think Michael's heard that in his career? Jack Pineda over at first base. Two stolen bases in two tries this year. Jenkins holds him on. 3-1. Slider taken for a strike at the knees. Count goes full. Dickerson thought about swinging away for a moment, but he's going to opt to see the 3-2 pitch instead. With two outs and the count full, of course, Pineda will get a head start at first base. Beanline gets the sign, stationed on the first base side of the rubber. He sets, fires, and strikes out Dickerson on a fastball right at the knees. A couple of K's for Michael Beanline in his first frame of action tonight. He works around the leadoff single and keeps it a 1-0 Bandits lead. Halfway through game three of this six-game series. Bottom of the fifth, up next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
After an up-and-down debut for Ben Kuderna last weekend, a up-and-down season debut, I should specify, Ben is back to his usual effective self here in his first start of the year against West Michigan. He's thrown four shutout, no-hit innings with four Ks and just one walk on 45 pitches. He'll get Pacheco, Campos, and Cerretti in the bottom of the fifth. Campos' first pitch swinging turns on one, but fouls it onto the berm for strike one. Correction, Pacheco fouls it off. Isaac with a fly ball to left field his first time up in the bottom of the second inning. Kuderna deals, and it's outside 1-1. By the way, the final line for the Whitecaps starter, Garrett Burhan, who was also very good in four innings. Four frames, one run on two hits, no walks, and five strikeouts. Really good stuff from him. 1-1. Fastball in there for strike two. Really the only guy Burhan had an issue with was Carter Jensen, who doubled off of him, bloop style in the first, and then homered off of him in the fourth. Otherwise, he retired everyone else he saw. Pacheco turns on one, sending it into the right field corner, but foul. The wind blowing in from left, helping out Kuderna there. That ball had a ticket for extra bases, but was pushed to the right of the chalk for a loud foul ball. Pacheco taking his time to get back into the box. Picks up his bat. Strolls in there now. Tigers number 29 prospect. 1-2. High fly. This one straightaway center field. Rockefort camps underneath and makes the catch. The wind is no problem. That's out number one. 11 in a row retired for Ben Kuderna. You could call it 12 if you want to count the double play in the first inning as two. He is still yet to allow a hit. He has been tremendous. Base is clear for Roberto Campos, the right fielder. First pitch, tapped foul to the left side, strike one. And Campos essentially single-handedly tied the game on Wednesday. A one pitch. Slow tapper hit behind home. Kind of a, I don't know what to call that, a 5/8 swing from Campos. He just kind of waved the bat out there and knocked it foul. Clearly Kuderna in the driver's seat in this at-bat. 0-2 pitch. Foul ball off the glove of Jensen, who punches the leather. He's not happy in the glove's performance there. Still 0-2. Campos led off the fifth inning on Wednesday with a single. Stole second, stole third, and then scored on an error. 0-2. in the dirt. 1-2. I should specify that was an error on Hunter Owen, who tried to pick over to third, or rather tried to step off of the mound and throw to third when Campos was stealing. And he threw it past Werner onto the warning track, and that allowed the run to score. 1-2. Fastball, got him, look it. Strike 3 on the upper outside corner for Kuderna's 5th K. He's now retired 12 in a row. Boy, is he dialed in now. This looks like Kuderna during his high A debut in Beloit last year. Do you remember that? 6 shutout innings. He was unbelievable. First pitch to Cerretti. Bouncer to second. Pineda charges, flips, and ends the inning. 13 in a row, retired by Ben Kuderna. He's got 5 shutout, hitless innings, and the Bandits take a 1-0 lead into the 6th. You're listening to Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Ben Kuderna has looked phenomenal in his second start of the year. No hits through 5 scoreless innings, plus 5 strikeouts and just 56 pitches needed to do so. The Bandits' bats go back to work to start the 6th inning with Carson Rockefort, the leadoff man, in there against Michael Beanline, who pours in strike 1 on the outer edge. Rockefort, Jensen, Werner do up against the right-hander. Beanline worked around a leadoff single in a scoreless 5th inning. Got a couple of strikeouts as well. 0-1. Got Rockefort out in front. Nothing at 2. Carson now 2-for-11 in this series, but both of his hits went for extra bases. A double and a homer. And that 2-run shot for Rockefort was a huge one back on Tuesday, which erased a 3-run Bandits deficit to put them in front. But, of course, Quad Cities could not hold on, as evidenced by their 0-2 start to the week. 0-2. In the dirt, bounces up to Cibrian. 1-2. Rockefort has hit in 5 straight games to start the year for Quad Cities. He was tied for the longest hit streak in the league until yesterday. And that's only because Rockefort didn't play. 1-2. Check swing. The pitch low and inside. No appeal. It's 2-2. Going into yesterday, he was tied with Dayton's Cam Collier for the best hit streak in the league at 5, but Dayton did play their game against Cedar Rapids yesterday. It was the only game in the Midwest League, actually. 2-2. Line drive into left field, base hit. 6 straight games with a hit to start the high A career of Carson Rockefort. It's not an extra base knock, but it's a leadoff knock. And the Bandits put a man on in front of the right guy, Connor Jensen, who before that swing had 2/3 of the Bandits' hits in the game. Jensen 2-for-2 with a double and his first home run of the year back in the 4th inning, which he banged off the deck in right field. Rockefeller held by Jenkins. Beanline deals. First pitch is a slider that drops in for strike one. A Beanline, as I mentioned, has now played parts of four seasons in West Michigan. You can track his career all the way back to his college days in 2017. Off goes Rockefeller. The pitch is low. The throw to second in time. Graham slaps the tag on Carson for the first out. Rockefeller searching for his second stolen base of the year, but Jose Cibrian had other ideas. Not a great throw from Cibrian, but a really nice tag by Peyton Graham to swing the glove around and slap the tag on the Bandit center fielder. 1-1 pitch to Jensen. Base is clear. It's low and inside, 2-1. Quad Cities has really enjoyed stealing bases this year, but they've now been caught five times in six games. 2-1. Just away, 3-1. Now, it's worth noting that Brett Squires himself has three of those five caught stealing. Two of those were in the game Wednesday. Beanline sets, 3-1. In the dirt, ball four. Well, that's one way to make sure that Jensen doesn't get an extra base hit. Just put him on with the walk. Now that caught stealing hurts a little bit more. So number 11 trots down to first base with his second walk of the young season. And up comes Trevor Werner. Trevor 0-for-2 with a pair of strikeouts to start the game. Beanline fires in. That pitch is a strike, 0-1. Beanline, born in Honolulu, Hawaii. Like I said, he calls Springfield, Virginia his hometown. Played some college ball at NC State back in the day. 0-1. In the dirt, smothered by Cibrian, it's 1-1. Beanline also a Cape Cod League alum, pitched for the Harwich Mariners back in 2018 and posted a 3.86 ERA against some of the best collegiate talent in the country. 1-1. Low and outside, 2-1. In 2019, he came to West Michigan back when they were a single-A affiliate. Spent 11 games there. 2-1. Called strike, outer edge. Two balls, two strikes on Werner. He also played some short season ball in New York Penn League that year. Also down in the Gulf Coast League with Tigers West. Kind of bounced around his first pro season. Jensen at first. 2-2 to Werner. It's fouled into the screen. The Bandits' third baseman stays alive. It's 1-0 Quad Cities in the top of the sixth inning. Bandits are looking for their first win of the week. Fell on Tuesday and Wednesday. They were rained out yesterday. But they're up in the middle frames today. Another 2-2. There goes Carter. Werner fouls it off towards the end of the third base dugout. Jensen retreats to first base. Beanline then in 2021. Played for both High A West Michigan and Single A Lakeland. He was much better for the Flying Tigers than he was with the Whitecaps, so he came back to High A in 2022. The pitch. Pop up, right side of the diamond. First baseman Jenkins spinning, turning, jogging towards the fence. He reaches out, slides, and can't make the catch. It hops off the dirt into the seats. That ball clearly impacted by the wind. That should have been an easy pop-up in foul territory, but Mother Nature pushed that ball a good 70 or 80 feet away from Jenkins, who had to navigate one of the most difficult areas of the ballpark. Good at-bat, though, for Trevor Werner. He doesn't want his third strikeout. He's about to see his eighth pitch after fouling off three consecutive two-strike offerings. Beanline. Throws to first, Jensen leaning, but he gets back in time without a tag from Jenkins. Quad Cities with four hits and no errors. West Michigan Zeros across the line score. Ben Kuderna, the Bandits starter tonight, has been phenomenal. Bean line ready to try again. Another 2-2. Check swing on the slider. The pitch was low, and he did not go. The appeal to Alex Shears confirms it's ball three. It'll be a nine-pitch at-bat at the very least for Trevor Werner. This might be his best at-bat of the week so far. He's got 11 strikeouts through now six games this year. But, you know, with him, the power is why he's there in the three spot. 3-2. There goes Jensen. And the pitch is up and in. Ball four. What a walk worked by Trevor Werner. So now three straight base runners have reached against Beanline. He's fortunate that Rockefort was caught stealing, or else they'd be loaded with nobody out. Instead, first and second with one away, but that's not going to stop Dan Rickaball, the pitching coach for the Whitecaps, from visiting the mound. Second walk of the week worked by Werner. Squires due up after this mound meeting. So while that takes place, let's check in with the rest of the action in the Midwest League today. As I mentioned, Dayton and Cedar Rapids were the only two teams that played in the Midwest League yesterday. Everybody else was rained out. Cedar Rapids wound up getting the win in that one. So the Colonels are 2-3 after starting 0-3 this season. Over in Lansing, the Lugnuts lead the Great Lakes Loons 6-2 in the top of the sixth inning at Jackson Field. In South Bend, where they're playing game one of a doubleheader, the Timber Rattlers are being outhit by the Cubs 6-2, but they lead 1-0 in the bottom of the seventh inning. They're trying to close out a victory in game one of the Twin Bill. We're set to resume action here at LMCU Ballpark, so more on that in a second. The Bandits, runners at first and second with one out. Brett Squires chops one foul to the right side, 0-1. Already lots of runs on the board over at Dozer Park in Peoria. Chiefs on top of the Sky Carp, 5-3 in the bottom of the third inning. Beanline turns around and faces Jensen, who walks back to second base. They're just getting underway in Cedar Rapids. Dayton leading the Colonels 1-0 early. Dayton 3-3 to start the year. They're the Reds' high A affiliate. 0-1. Wave and a miss. Big cut from Squires. But he came up with just wind. Plenty of that today. 0-2. And then otherwise, the Tin Caps and Captains underway in Indiana. Lake County a 4-0 in the bottom of the second over Fort Wayne. 0-2 to Squires. Fouled into the suites on the left side. Look out over there. Some fans just not paying attention. Almost drilled by a baseball. If you're going to get the suite behind home plate, you better be paying attention. Everybody's okay. Squires okay as well. He's battling. 0-2. One hopper to second. Gloved by Anderson. To short for one. On to first. Double play. Inning over. What a timely twin killing worked by Michael Beanline. The Whitecaps go 4-6-3 to strand a really good run-scoring opportunity for Quad Cities. They field add to their 1-0 lead. We go to the bottom of the sixth, and Ben Kuderna going back to the mound for the Bandits, looking to toss QC's second straight quality start. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. There hasn't been a whole lot in the way of offense today, but we've been treated to a tremendous pitcher's duel between Quad Cities and West Michigan. The Royals High A affiliate on top of the Tigers affiliate, 1-0. Opening up the bottom of the sixth inning, Ben Kuderna, a massive, massive reason why. He has not allowed a hit in five shutout innings. He's hit a batter and walked a batter. Those are the first two guys to come to the plate for West Michigan in the game. But since then, it's been 13 in a row retired with the help of five strikeouts. Andrew Jenkins leads it off for the Whitecaps. He'll take strike one. 7, 8, and 9 due up for the Caps. All three right-handed hitters. The pitch fouled over the screen on the right side. 0-2. In case you're curious what Kuderna's career best is in terms of innings pitched, with Quad Cities, it's 6. In his career, it's 7. As Jenkins takes a pitch in the dirt, 1-2. He threw 7 innings for the Fireflies back in July last year, where he spent the vast majority of the year before a late-season call-up, along with the likes of Frank Mazzucato and Shane Panzini. 1-2. Tapper foul to the right side. Hustling over Squires. He's going to touch up and make sure it stays foul. Obviously, the zeros are great, but I think my favorite thing about Ben's performance today has been the efficiency, which we got so used to seeing from him in his short time with Quad Cities last year. Threw over 70 pitches to get through 3 2/3 on opening night, and he's just getting to the 60 mark here in the sixth inning today. 1-2 to Jenkins again. Ground ball, second base. Jack Pineda's had a busy evening. He'll play a couple of hops and throw over to first in time for the out. They get 14 straight retired for Ben Kuderna. Kuderna has only had 2 fly balls hit in this game today. And as we talked about during the pregame show, with the wind, keeping it on the ground is going to be essential tonight. He's done just that. First toss to Peyton Graham is low and inside, 1-0. Peyton put a pretty good swing on a ball back in the third, but he lined out to Pineda, 1-0. Low and outside, 2-0. As I mentioned, we'll have a doubleheader to make up for yesterday's rainout tomorrow afternoon here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. First pitch in game one, scheduled for 2 p.m. Eastern. The pitch, low and inside, 3-0. Steven Zoback get the start in game one against fellow right-hander Jaden Hamm for the Whitecaps. Graham in the driver's seat. Kuderna's 3-0 pitch. Fastball in there. Inner half, 3-1. In game two, Henry Williams will make his second career start as a River Bandit. He'll go up against another right-hander in Dylan Smith. 3-1. Slider drops in. Graham watches that one go by. It's a full count. So Graham will ask for time and adjust the batting gloves. He's the Tigers' number 25 prospect. He settles back into the box, choked up on the stick. Payoff pitch. Got him. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Ben Kuderna comes all the way back from down 3-0 for his 6th strikeout in his 15th consecutive retired batter. Can't ask for much more out of the starter today. Now facing Jose Cibrian. First toss to him. Catcher comes up empty. It's 0-1. Activity in the Bandits bullpen now. Kuderna now over 60 pitches.
So A.J. Block will begin getting loose. A one. Fastball in there as well. Strike two. Kurnia's getting everything he wants here in this sixth inning, at least after the 3-0 start to Graham. 0-2 pitch. Got him swinging. Strike three. Up the ladder with a fastball, and Benny Digits is pumped. The former second-round pick has retired 16 straight Whitecaps hitters. He's got six shutout hitless innings with seven Ks. Tremendous stuff from the Royals number four prospect. We're going to the seventh. It's 1-0 Quad Cities on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Eric Pinales, the right-hander for West Michigan, will take over for the top of the seventh inning. Quad Cities still in front, 1-0, as it's been since the fourth. Spencer Nivens leads it off, the left-handed hitting left fielder. And he'll take the first pitch outside for ball one. Ben Kurtina, the story of the game thus far. The Bandit starters got six hitless, scoreless innings with seven strikeouts. The pitch. Up and into Nivens, 2-0. Pinales relieving Michael Beanline, who worked around two hits and two walks with the help of two strikeouts to get through two innings of relief work. The next pitch to Nivens. That's below the knees. Three balls and no strikes. Bandits left fielders 0-2 with a swinging strikeout and a fly ball to center field his last time up. Pinales, just like Beanline, pitching from the first base side of the rubber. And he'll deliver the 3-0 outside for ball four. A four-pitch walk issued to Spencer Nivens, and the Bandits will take that. They'll take all the base runners they can gather at this point. They are still struggling with men in scoring position. They are 0-3 today, despite having seven guys reach at any given moment. First pitch to Kale Emschoff is in the dirt, ball one. Kale 1-2. The Bandits DH picked up his second knock of the series with a leadoff single back in the fifth, but to my previous point, he never got further than first base. 1-0. Inside, it hit him square in between the numbers, and that was clearly a breaking ball that got away from Pinales. So another opportunity early on in an inning for Quad Cities. A walk and a hit batsman has put runners at first and second base with nobody out for Jared Dickey. And Cibrian's going to go talk with Pinales. Eric, 25 years old, from San Cristobal in the Dominican Republic. He spent last season with the Whitecaps as well. This is a very experienced bullpen in terms of
high A innings for the Whitecaps, not dissimilar from Quad Cities. So here's Dickey, ready to work. Cibrian back behind the plate. First pitch in the dirt, nearly to the backstop, but Cibrian makes a stop. It's 1-0. Last year with the Whitecaps, a 3.76 ERA for Pinales. All 35 of his appearances were out of the bullpen, and 15 of them were game-finishing appearances, but he had just one save. A look back to second base, the 1-0. Slider slides into the outer edge of the zone for a called strike. He had 41 strikeouts in just over 38 innings with 26 walks and 27 hits. Strikeout per nine, 9.6, and a whip of 1.38. 1-1. Change up, low and away, off the glove of Cibrian, and everyone's going to move up. Nivens to third, Emshoff to second base. And now this is a must-score opportunity for Quad Cities. The Bandits have led in all three of their games against the Whitecaps this week, including tonight, but they're 0-2. If the Bandits are to hold on to this lead today, they're going to need to ensure this 1-0 advantage. Dickey's already got two ribbies on the week. 2-1 pitch to him is a fastball taken for a called strike two. Dickey with three hits in the series, including a homer, but 0-2 today. A ground out to second base in the second, a swinging strikeout in the fifth. The pitch from Pinales. In the dirt with a changeup. It's a full count. Dickey has not worked a walk this year. 18 appearances, he's had no free passes, but his on-base percentage is over 300. Time called now by Dickey. He's going to step out, grab the middle of his bat to smudge some of the pine tar on his gloves. Now he's ready to work. Back into the box, barrel of the bat rested on his shoulder. Pinales sets out the belt, looks towards third. 3-2. Got him swinging. Strike three on a nice slider. Boy, Pinales needed that one. But so did Quad Cities. By the way, A.J. Block has stopped throwing in the River Bandits bullpen. But not because I believe he's not coming out for the next inning. I think he's just ready to go. Jack Pineda now at the dish. First pitch. Called strike, lower inside corner, 0-1. The infield now playing in for West Michigan. They were not during the last at-bat with Dickey at the plate. Now they're squeezing the runners at third and second and Nivens and Emshoff, respectively. 0-1. Dribbler foul towards first base coach Ryan Powers. He'll pick it up and throw it into the seats. Powers has the ski mask going on right now. The sun was the only thing making this wind bearable, and it's almost gone over the third base side. It's just nothing but 20 and 30 mile per hour winds now. Pineda 0-2 today. He reached on a fielder's choice in the fifth inning, but never scored. Pinales with the 0-2. Right down the middle. Called strike three on the slider. So Quad Cities squandering another opportunity here in the seventh. They still have one out to work with, but they got runners to second and third with nobody out. And Pinales picks up a pair of strikeouts, including one looking. So now up to Dustin Dickerson, who had a big two-out RBI swing for Quad Cities on Wednesday. First pitch. Inside, that time the slider was not located. It's ball one. Fourth game of the year for Dusty. He is 2-for-12 this season. 0-for-2 today with a pair of Ks. Pinales is 1-0. Fastball missed inside, 2-0. For this Whitecaps right-hander, even though you've got first base open, you'd love to go right on right against Dickerson because if you load the bases, Carson Rockefort's on deck. He's a left-handed batter. 2-0 is low and inside, 3-0. And Rockefort has had an affinity for the late game hit this season, especially against these Whitecaps. Think back to his go-ahead two-run homer back on Tuesday. Dickerson in the driver's seat, 3-0. That fastball's right down the middle. It's 3-1. A.J. Block speaking with the Bandits' assistant pitching coach, Taylor Bloy, down in the bullpen. He looks ready to work in the bottom of the seventh. Bandits up 1-0. Runners at second and third with 2 outs. 3-1 pitch grounded back up the middle, but it's knocked down by Pinales. He'll retrieve it and flip underhanded to first to end the inning. Bandits strand two men in scoring position, and they cannot add to their 1-0 lead. Bandits clinging to the arms right now, and it will in fact be A.J. Block pitching the bottom of the seventh. Bandits up by one. Top third of the order for the Whitecaps coming up. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Situational hitting has remained an issue for Quad Cities, but it hasn't mattered all that much thus far because the Bandits' arms, and particularly the right arm of Ben Kuderna, have been phenomenal tonight. Whitecaps trailing 1-0 without a hit as we open the bottom of the seventh inning. And for the first time, somebody other than Kuderna will take the hill. It's A.J. Block. First pitch swinging Seth Stevenson. It's a soft roller to second. Tough play for Pineda. He'll charge and get the out just ahead of the speedy center fielder. Whitecaps trying to ambush Block. Finally, with a new pitcher in the game, they try to get their first hit. And Jack Pineda makes another great play over at second base. He's been busy in this ball game. And keep that play in mind. Should we need to think about it later? Here's Carlos Mendoza, first pitch. Fastball a bit high, 1-0. Second outing of the year for A.J. Block. We saw him make his season debut on opening night 2024 with two scoreless innings, 1-0. Up and in, he hit Mendoza. That caught him right on the right shoulder. Trying to spin out of the way, the Whitecaps left fielder is hit by a pitch for the second time in the game. And he'll go down to first base as the tying run. A.J. Block, a former Pac-12 pitcher, spent 4 seasons pitching for Washington State. And after undergoing Tommy John surgery in 2022, he is back pitching in game action for the first time since 2021 when he pitched with both Columbia and Quad Cities, helping lead the Bandits to the league title that year. Max Anderson in the box now. He'll take outside for ball one. Max entered the game 500 in the series and 500 on the summer. But today, 0-for-2 with a pair of ground balls, including a double play in the first. The southpaw's 1-0 pitch. In the dirt, it gets away from Jensen, but Mendoza got a bad read. He'll put on the brakes and retreat to first. Jensen also did a pretty good job getting to that ball quickly. Didn't really allow Mendoza any time to get a read. It would have had to have been a split-second decision, and even with Mendoza's speed, might have been a close play at second, so probably best just to play it safe as the game-tying runner. Anderson up in the count, 2-0. Block fires in. Breaking ball shanked off the hands, out of play over the right side. A.J. Block, one of the tallest guys on the River Bandits roster. 6'5", 220 pounds, 25 years old, and a native of Salt Lake City, Utah. Throw to first. Back standing up, Mendoza. He, along with KLM Schaff, was signed in June of 2020, right after the draft, the year the event was shortened to five rounds. He and Demshoff both would have been drafted in a normal situation. Another throw out of first. Mendoza back standing up and without a tag from Squires. So Blocks used both of his picks. And with the count 2-1 on Anderson, that's who he'll need to focus on here. Bandits up 1-0 in the bottom of the seventh. One out, runner at first. A.J. deals. Curveball. Nips the lower outside corner. It's a called strike. Anderson did not like it. 2-2. Whitecaps winners of the first two games this week, taking over several River Bandits leads throughout the series. 2-2. Check swing. Did he go? No, he didn't. It's ball three. Boy, that was close. He nearly chased the curveball low and outside. But Anderson, the Tigers' number 17 prospect and maybe the most skilled batter on the team, made a highly skilled read. So Block will try again. Runner still at first, 3-2 count. Payoff pitch on its way. Block fires, and it's low and inside for ball four. So Mendoza moves to second, Anderson to first. And this will mark the first time the Whitecaps have had two runners on in the game. They had two runners reach in an inning back in the first. But prior to the Mendoza hit by pitch, they hadn't had any runners since then. And this is the first time they've had two guys out there. One out on the board. But you're not in a great spot in terms of the Whitecaps lineup. If you're the Bandits, you're going right through the danger bats in Mendoza, Anderson, Pacheco, Campos, the DH Pacheco, a left-handed batter, now going left on left against the southpaw. Carter Jensen had a brief word with his pitcher. Now he's back behind the plate issuing signs. First pitch, breaking ball, a called strike, 0-1 on the lower inside corner. Pacheco already stepping out of the box as that one was about halfway home. AJ setting at the belt, looking at the lead runner. Time called by Pacheco. Wind still blowing here at LMCU Ballpark. The lights are on. The sun still lighting up the sky in some blue, but all the clouds are pink, orange, and yellow as the sun sets over the third base side. 0-1. Breaking ball in the dirt, stopped by Jensen. 1-1. Pacheco, a second-round pick by the Tigers back in 2021. He calls Friendswood, Texas, his hometown. He is just 21 years old, one of the youngest guys on this roster. Block is going to step off the back of the rubber, wipe his front foot across the slab. Now re-engage while getting the sign from Carter Jensen, who issues a bevy of signals. Now he's got one. 1-1. Wave and a miss. Back to the breaking ball. Got Pacheco out in front, and he tips it into the glove of Jensen for strike two. Ben Kuderna finishes his fantastic night with six scoreless, hitless innings. One walk, one hit batsman, and seven strikeouts. Whitecaps now against A.J. Block. 1-2. Inside, another breaking ball. It's been that pitch almost exclusively from Block, and the count's 2-2. He's got a low to mid-90s heater, usually on the lower side for Block these days, but he loves that little slide piece. If what he's done in this inning hasn't convinced you enough, he's ready to work again, pausing at the belt. 2-2. behind the batter into the backstop. Everyone moves up. Mendoza to third, Anderson to second. And there was some major slippage on that wild pitch. And unfortunately, Bandits fans are having flashbacks right now, thinking back to the game on Tuesday where Quad Cities uncorked a season-high 6 wild pitches. And now we're going to get a rare mid-count mound visit from Derek Lewis. He's going to run out there to the bump and bring in the entire River Bandits infield. The count is full. And maybe because the runners moved up, DeLu wants to go over how the team should approach this situation. Quad Cities is still clinging to its 1-0 lead. The Whitecaps do not have a hit. There's one out in the bottom of the seventh, but thanks to a hit batsman and a walk, there are Caps at third and second base, and the cleanup man, Isaac Pacheco, at the dish. Pacheco's been quiet this week. He's 1-for-7. His only hit was on Tuesday. It scored a run. And he also stole a base in that game, but he didn't do anything in the Whitecaps' win Wednesday. Derek Lewis back in the Bandits' dugout on the third base side. The defense about halfway in. Block ready to work in a full count. The pitch on its way. Got him swinging strike 3. Pacheco chased way low and outside, and that was a gigantic strikeout for A.J. Block. The former Cougar is not out of the woods yet, but that helps majorly. Now he'll face the right-handed bat of Roberto Campos, who struck out in both of his at-bats against Kuderna. Runners at second and third, two away. First pitch slider misses low for ball one. Campos, just 20 years old from Havana, Cuba. Tied for the youngest player on this team. The pitch. Change up, just away. Good pitch, but it's 2-0. Now, if you're thinking, with first base open, is there a better matchup waiting in the wings? The answer is no. Switch hitter Danny Ceretti is on deck, and then there's four straight right-handers due up against A.J. Block. 2-0. Fastball right down the middle. Campos taking all the way. It is 2-1. During the next inning, we'll check in with the rest of the Kansas City Royals farm system. All four affiliates underway right now. 2-1. Swing and a miss. Good breaking ball. And the count's 2-2. A.J. Block trying to squeeze his way out of this inning and keep the Whitecaps off the scoreboard. He's got the sign from Jensen. 2-2 on its way. He got him! Strike 3 on a breaking ball. A.J. Block strands the tying and go-ahead runners in scoring position, and he keeps the shutout and the no-hitter intact. It's 1-0 Bandits. We're going to the eighth on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
We'll be right back.
Quad Cities pitching staff has put together a tremendous game three against the West Michigan Whitecaps. Quad Cities in front 7, make that 1-0 in the top of the 8th inning after just completing the 7th with help from A.J. Block, who stranded the go-ahead and tying runs in scoring position. Carson Rockefort, the leadoff man for the Bandits, just took the first pitch from Eric Pinales in the dirt. 1-0 toss on its way, and the Bandits center fielder hops out of the way of a fastball by the Shoelaces. It's 2-0. Block didn't have his best stuff to start the inning. He got a broken bat roller out of Seth Stevenson, which turned into a 4-3 ground out. 2-0 on its way to Rockefort. Fastball down the middle, strike one. He then hit Eric Mendoza with a pinch, walked Max Anderson, threw behind Isaac Pacheco to move those guys to second and third, but then struck out Pacheco and Campos to end the inning. 2-1 pitch. Big breaking ball from Pinales. It's called strike at the bottom of the zone. Count evens at 2-2 on Rockefort. The Royals' number 17 prospect has now recorded hits in 6 straight games after his single in the 6th inning, but he was caught stealing. 2-2, check swing, pitch in the dirt. He went around, strike 3. Third K of the ball game for Pinales. He's third in the last 4 batters. And after he got off to a shaky start in the 7th inning, he has retired 4 straight guys. So now Carter Jensen will get ready to step in. By the way, no activity in either bullpen at the moment, although there is some movement on the West Michigan side. We'll keep you posted there. First pitch to Jensen, skips over Sebrian. That's ball one. So it does look like the Whitecaps are going to get what would be their third reliever of the game warmed up. 1-0 to Jensen is outside, 2-0. Carter has been tremendous tonight and the only source of runs for the Bandits. He is 2-for-2 with a double in the first, a solo homer in the fourth, and a walk in the 6th inning. 2-0. Foul back, look out in the sweets. That ricochets off the siding and down into the bowl. Right into that area where earlier some fans almost wore one. Jensen ready, Pinales sets, 2-1. Fastball just low, great take from Jensen, it's 3-1. And it's up 1-0 in the top of the 8th inning. Pinales behind in the count, deals the 3-1 pitch, low and outside, ball 4. So Carter Jensen reaches base for the 4th time today. And for the 2nd straight time via the free pass. So runner at first, and 1 out for Trevor Werner. Bandits have had base runners in all but 2 innings tonight, but they've scored just 1 time. Werner walked back in the 6th, but was part of the inning-ending double play. First pitch breaking ball is on the lower inside corner for a called strike. That pitch from Pinales at about 78 miles per hour. Much like A.J. Block has favored the slider, the Uncle Charlie has been the favorite selection of Pinales. 0-1. Another breaking ball. Another called strike. It's at the bottom of the zone. Werner thought about swinging, chose not to, and is now asking Ian Durkin where that one missed, or rather where that one was in the zone. Field umpire Alex Shears now asking for a new baseball to be sent down to Pinales. Right-hander, I guess, licked his fingers and didn't wipe them off sufficiently enough, so he'll start with a dry baseball this time. Werner with 2 strikeouts in the game as a throw goes to first. It nearly gets over Jenkins, but he hops up to make the squeeze, and Jensen dives back easily. Werner batting 182 on the season in 22 at-bats. High blue Sox for him per usual. 0-2, high drive towards the left field corner. This one pushing towards foul ground, and it will get out of play over by the River Bandits bullpen. count holds. Over in the rest of the Royals farm system, nobody else nearly as far along as we are. Of course, we get a head start in the Eastern time zone this week. The Columbia Fireflies just took the lead against Myrtle Beach. They've scored four runs in the fourth to lead 6-4 over the Pelicans. Another 0-2 to Werner. Line drive, skipping through the left side of base hit. Well, that one was barreled up. One skip off the very end of the dirt into left field for Werner's third hit of the series. Jensen moves into scoring position. And once again, Quad Cities will try to take advantage with a runner at second and or third base. Time call, and out goes Tony Cappuccelli. The skipper for the Whitecaps wants to make a pitching change, it seems. Number 7, Carlos De Los Santos, was that right-hander in the bullpen for the Whitecaps. And now he will head to center stage. So that's the end of the ball game for Pinales. He goes an inning and a third scoreless with three strikeouts, but he is responsible for Jensen at second and Trevor Werner at first. We'll pause for the change and tell you all about him when we come back. 1-0 Quad Cities. We're in the eighth on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
De Los Santos is the third reliever of the ball game for the West Michigan Whitecaps. He replaces Eric Pinales and will face Brett Squires with a runner at first and a runner at second. One out in the top of the eighth. Quad Cities in front, 1-0 in what's been a tremendous pitcher's duel. Squires 0-for-3, including a double play ball back in the sixth. Left-handed batter will take the first pitch from De Los Santos for strike one. Carlos, no stranger to the Midwest League, but he is a stranger, still kinda, to these West Michigan Whitecaps. 0-1 pitch to Squires on its way. The righty deals, and it's a fastball low and away, 1-1. De Los Santos has spent parts of the last two seasons in the Dodgers system with the Great Lakes Loons. He's pitching in this division for a different team as recently as last year. But now he's a Tigers product as Squires watches away, 2-1. De Los Santos signed at the end of March, March 27th of this year. Tigers saw what they liked in him in Great Lakes and said, hey, we want you just down the street. 2-1. Wave and a miss. Squires with a huge hack came up empty. It's 2-2. Last year with the Loons, a 4.97 ERA in 38 innings for De Los Santos. 9.9 strikeouts per 9 innings. He sets, looks towards second, now deals. Fastball outside to Squires, the count goes full. this year with West Michigan. He's made just one previous appearance. It was last Sunday against Lake County. Worked out of the bullpen and pitched two-thirds of a frame scoreless. No hits, one walk, no strikeouts. Here's his payoff pitch to Brett Squires. The Bandits' first baseman hacks away and lines one towards the Great Lakes bullpen. Skips over all the pitchers down there and then rolls towards the warning track. It's now in fair territory down there. I don't think anyone sees it except one Whitecaps reliever who is hustling down there. Now he'll pick it up and watch the flock of children make their way towards the picnic area, hunting for that souvenir. Another 3-2 to Squires. Rolled over foul. Now it's Ryan Powers' chance to make a play. Never mind. He gets past him towards the first base dugout. We'll let that one slide. That was a bit of a long run for Powers, whose legs are probably quite stiff standing out there in what's turned into a rather chilly night here at the ballpark. Long at bat here. Eighth pitch of the battle coming between De Los Santos and Squires. The payoff. Line drive, right field, foul ball. Just to the right of the chalk. Squires just missed extra bases. And the Bandits just missed out on what would have at least been their second run. Quad City's 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position today. They've been so fortunate that Ben Kuderna and A.J. Block have been as great as they've been out there on the hill. But they need some insurance. Squires trying his best. De Los Santos with a fresh baseball. Another payoff pitch. Pop foul right off the press box windows on the left side. We'll do it again. This will be a 10-pitch at-bat for Brett Squires. He's got hits in four straight games coming into tonight, but 0-for-3 despite putting three baseballs in play. He's making De Los Santos work for the second out. 3-2, once more. Outside, he gets the walk. What a phenomenal plate appearance from Brett Squires. The Fort Worth native trots down to first as the Bandits have loaded him up for Spencer Nivens. Jensen to third, Werner to second. Squires to first base on his team-leading sixth walk of the year. And now Nivens up at the plate. Another left-handed bat. De Los Santos sends in a fastball. Nivens rockets it to center field. It's right at Stevenson who makes the catch, but Jensen's going to tag from third and score without a throw. There's some situational hitting. A sack fly from Spencer Nivens makes it 2-0 Quad Cities. And boy, did the Bandits need that one. Nivens still hitless in the ball game, but he didn't need a hit there. At the very least, he needed to hit something in the air. That's exactly what he did. That was a line drive shot, just unfortunately right at Stevenson, but the job gets done. So runners at first and second with two outs for Kale Emshoff, the DH. Both runners take off. The pitch is outside, and there's no throw from Cibrian. Werner up to third base with his third stolen bag of the year. Squires follows behind him to second base. And now a knock from Emshoff could really blow this game open for Quad Cities. He's 1-for-2 with a single and a hit by pitch tonight. He hacks away 1-0 but chased in the dirt. One ball and one strike. Nobody warming up in the bullpen for Quad Cities. This will be A.J. Block's bottom half once we get there. And it's up 2-0. Emshoff ready. The pitch on its way. In the dirt. It gets away from Cibrian. In to score Werner. There's no throw. And Squires goes to third. Make it 3-0 Quad Cities. Now it's the Bandits, the benefactors of a wild pitch. Feels like a long time since they've got one of those. De Los Santos just spiked that slider in front of the left-handed batter's box. There was nothing Cibrian could do. 3-0 Quad Cities. Emshoff still with a duck on the pond. Base hit here would be massive. De Los Santos comes home. That's low and inside, nearly to the backstop again, but Cibrian makes the stop. By the way, the final line for Eric Pinales, De Los Santos' predecessor, He goes an inning and a third, allowing two runs, both earned, on a hit, two walks, and three strikeouts. 3-1 to Emshoff. High fly ball, left center field. Stevenson navigating the twilight skies, now backing up, backpedaling towards the track. He'll make the catch and end the inning. Cale Emshoff just missed an extra base hit, if not a home run. Quad Cities, though, does score twice. A sack fly from Spencer Nivens, and Warner is plated on a wild pitch. 3-0 Quad Cities, bottom of the eighth. Up next on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Quad Cities gets a little bit of help from a wild pitch, but they do finally get a clutch swing with a man in scoring position. Spencer Nivens picks up an RBI, his first of the season, plating Carter Jensen with a sacrifice fly before Trevor Werner comes in on the aforementioned wild pitch to make it 3-0 Quad Cities. Bottom of the eighth underway, Danny Cerretti, the switch hitter, leads it off against A.J. Block. He'll take strike one. Second inning of work for Block, who needed 20 pitches to get through his first frame of action. Cerretti fouls the 0-1 over the right side, nothing at two. Picked up a couple of gigantic strikeouts with two runners in scoring position to escape danger in the home half of the seventh. He can now take a little bit of weight off his shoulders now that Quad Cities has given him a three-run lead as opposed to a one-run lead. 0-2 to Cerretti. Slider slapped foul over the right side. Danny's four-game on-base streak in danger. He's 0-for-2 with a couple of ground balls today. Right back in the box, Block has a new baseball. 0-2 again. Wave and a miss. Strike three. He chased the fastball way high and outside. Three straight strikeouts for A.J. Block. And the Bandits' arms have these white caps befuddled. That's now 10 strikeouts between Ben Kuderna and A.J. Block. Andrew Jenkins now steps into the right-handed box. 0-for-2 with a strikeout. First pitch, high and away, ball one. You knew this night was probably not going to include much offense, but it's been even better than expected for Quad Cities. Out of the wind. Second toss to Jenkins. Outside as well. 2-0. Got the heavy winds, the cold temperatures. This was a game perfect for Ben Kuderna to go out there and get a bunch of ground balls. He got a couple of those, but strikeouts were there too. 2-0. Fastball. This time he finds the outside edge of the zone. Jenkins takes and it's 2-1. A.J. Block is coming out of the bullpen. And done very well, minus the hit batsman and the walk. 2-1. Popped up right center field. Pineda called off by Squires momentarily, but Jack takes charge and says, no, I got it. And he'll make the catch in shallow right field. There are two down here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Watson is four outs away from a victory, and the Whitecaps do not have a run or a hit. They'll turn to the shortstop, Peyton Graham.
Right-handed batter 0 for 2 with a lineout and a strikeout. First pitch from Block. Fastball on the lower inside corner at strike one. Infield straight up for the Bandits. The third baseman Werner perhaps squeezing the line a touch. 0-1 fastball up and away. Block working quickly. It's 1-1. Graham's gotten off to a slow start this year. Just 1 for 13 as a white cap. Although the line drive he hit in the third was some of the best contact the Whitecaps have had all game. 1-1 heater from Block. It's a called strike. Outside half of the zone, Graham took the bat off his shoulder, but never fully committed. Block looking for his fourth strikeout in a perfect inning. The southpaw turns and fires. Foul ball back to the screen. Block, who leaned a lot on the slider in his first frame of work, perhaps a little more confident out there, just whizzing in fastballs. See if he goes back to it here. Another 1-2 pitch to Graham. It's the slider, and it's a strikeout. 4 Ks for A.J. Block. He's got a perfect eighth inning for his second scoreless frame of the night, and the Whitecaps trail 3-0 with no hits going to the ninth. Quad City's looking for more insurance on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
A.J. Block and Ben Kuderna have been nearly perfect for Quad Cities tonight. They have combined for 8 scoreless innings with 11 strikeouts of Whitecaps hitters, and no one in that first base dugout has recorded a hit. It's 3-0 Bandits. Top of the night set to commence with the bottom third of the order due up against Carlos De Los Santos, who helped Eric Pinales complete the Bandits' half of the 8th inning. He allowed an inherited run to score, but at the end of the day, he goes 2/3 scoreless as far as his runs go. Jared Dickey will lead it off for the Bandits. The right fielder takes a called strike. Dickey's had a slow night at the plate, 0-for-3 with a couple of strikeouts, both of them swinging. The infield shifted for Dickey to pull, and he'll take a fastball outside, 1-1. Really, there's only one man on the left side of the infield. Obviously, the shortstop, Graham, legally has to be on the left side of second base, but he's as far up the middle as you can be. The third baseman, Soretti's, holding down that whole left side as De Los Santos whizzes a fastball away. And Dickey's in a hitter's count, 2-1. So they're playing Jared to pull the ball, but De Los Santos has worked exclusively on the outside edge of the zone. What does he go to here? The pinch. It's a two-seamer, low and away. 3 balls, 1 strike. So Dickey can just wait for something middle in here. De Los Santos clearly doesn't want to work there, but the Whitecaps have the defense positioned differently. 3-1. High and away, ball 4. Forget the positioning, just take your base. So Jared Dickey gets his first walk of the season. And once again, the Bandits will look for another insurance run. Throughout this series, it has been quite a problem for the Bandits in terms of situational knocks. They are still 0-for-7 tonight with runners in scoring position, but they did get a sac fly
from Spencer Nivens in the last frame to at least advance the lead beyond one run. Now at the plate, Jack Pineda. First pitch from De Los Santos. Misses low and in for ball one. Pineda in the eighth spot tonight, where we've seen him most often this year. 0 for 3. Third baseman Cerretti just behind the grass. 1-0. Outside, 2-0. De Los Santos has struggled with his location tonight. Again, he hasn't given up any runs, but he's not lived in the zone. Just 10 of his 23 pitches have gone for a strike. 2-0 to Jack. That's outside, 3-0. No activity in the Whitecaps bullpen. There is a man throwing on the third base side where the Bandits are at this week. Peering down there, looks like it's Ben Sears getting loose. 3-0 pitch to Pineda. Ball four outside. So De Los Santos is hesitant to work into these Bandits hitters, at least his last two lefties at the plate. And that likely is going to draw a visit from somebody. And sure enough, the catcher Jose Cibrian's out there. And after thinking it over, Dan Rickaball, the pitching coach for West Michigan, will head out there as well. Now, it's worth bringing this up. I do not believe in the broadcaster jinx. I believe that it's my duty to inform you what exactly is going on tonight. The Bandits lead 3-0 in the ninth inning. The Whitecaps do not have a hit. The Bandits have 12 no-hitters in their history in the Midwest League, beginning in 1960 when all this stuff started being tracked. Of course, the Bandits have been, in terms of professional baseball in Davenport, that goes well beyond Quad Cities River Bandits history, all the way back to the 1800s. But since 1960, QC has thrown 12 no-hitters, including one perfect game. That was the first no-hitter they threw back in 1961. Dennis Riband threw that against Clinton in a 1-0 win. The last no-hitter for Quad Cities came in 2021, the organization's first year as a Royals affiliate. And, of course, that was a combined no-hitter tossed by Zach Hockey and Dante Biasi. Ready to resume action, Dustin Dickerson at the plate. He'll take strike one from De Los Santos, who just talked things over with the catcher twice and the pitching coach. Bandits have runners at first and second with nobody out, up 3-0. The right-hander delivers. No, he steps off the back of the rubber and looks back, Dickey. That no-hitter for Quad Cities, that was against Wisconsin back on June 18th, 2021. A 9-0 win, and it was a nine-inning no-hitter. Hockey threw six innings, Biasi threw three. Bandits runners hopping around on the base paths as the 0-1 to Dickerson missed inside, 1-1. Got to imagine there was some discussion about working inside to hitters during Dan Rickaball's visit. Two pitches to Dusty have been around the inside portion of the zone. De Los Santos with 1-1. That's too far inside. Dickerson almost got hit. 2-1 as he spins out of the way. Dusty, 1-for-3 in the series entering tonight, but he's hitless today. Two strikeouts and a ground ball. A spin to second. The throw. Not in time. Dickey went in standing up, and he was nearly tagged out by Anderson. That's one where you may get an earful from your coach in the dugout for not getting the jersey dirty. De Los Santos focused back in on Dickerson. Both runners hopping around. The throw goes to second base, and it's now into center. Dickey takes off for third. He will get there without a throw. You could hear the fans react before De Los Santos did. Pineda was about halfway to second. Dickey about a third of the way to third. Eventually, Carlos turned around, but then threw one in the dirt in front of Anderson, who couldn't put a squeeze on it. It trickles into the grass, and the Bandits get another guy to third. So surely it's going to be an E1, and now It's going to be a balk. Never mind. Brooks Conrad had gone out to talk with Alex Shears for a moment. Just asked him to talk to Ian Dirk in the plate umpire. And after a very brief discussion, I think it's just a straight up balk. So now the infield comes in for West Michigan. A 2-1 count on Dickerson. The pitch. Fouled into the screen. 2-2. Dickerson had a situation in the seventh inning where there were runners at second and third, but with two outs. And he bounced out to the pitcher. Now all he's trying to do is put something in play, and Quad Cities can create even more distance between them and the White Caps. They already lead 3-0. 2-2 again. In the dirt. Nice block by Cibrian. He used the full extent of the chest protector there. Skidding behind the left-handed batter's box and knocking it down. So right now, they've got it in there as an error on De Los Santos. I do believe there was a balk. We'll check on that later. 3-2. Fouled away by Dickerson. He got a pitch probably below the zone. Stuck the head of the bat down there and flicked it away to stay alive. Quad Cities ahead 3-0 in the top of the ninth inning, looking for their first win against the Whitecaps this week and since 2019. Carlos De Santos has labored in this inning. His 3-2 to Dickerson is fouled off again. He'll labor some more. Eighth pitch upcoming in this plate appearance. De Los Santos has thrown 31 pitches. Make that 32 pitches. Just 14 for a strike to get through two-thirds of an inning. He's not recorded an out in the ninth. 3-2 again. Check swing. The appeal. He didn't go. The pitch was down and away for ball four. Three straight walks issued by De Los Santos. That'll load the bases. So now the Whitecaps fans getting a little bit antsy with both De Los Santos and the field umpire Alex Shears. They thought Dickerson swung, and taking a look at the replay, he most certainly did. So the Bandits catch a break there, and they would be remiss not to plate at least one here. Bases loaded, nobody out. Quad Cities hitting with the bases loaded this year. 0-0-0. First pitch to Carson Rockefort is outside for ball one. Back to the top of the order for QC. It's Rockefort's fifth at bat. He is 1-for-4 with a single, but he was caught stealing second after singling in the sixth. The pitch. High and away. It's 2-0. West Michigan starting to warm up another arm. Matt Merrill, who pitched earlier this series, starting to get loose. I'm sure Tony Cappuccelli would rather not turn to a fourth reliever tonight with the doubleheader scheduled tomorrow. 2-0. High fly, this one pushing foul to the left side. Cerretti, behind the Bandits dugout, watches it bounce into the seats. Then about six or seven kids dive into the bleachers to try to retrieve the foul ball. Somebody must have come up with it because they're all dispersing now. Never saw anyone grab it though. Very inconspicuous souvenir retrieval over there. Hitters count for Rockefort still. 2-1 pitch from De Los Santos. Low and in off the glove of Cibrian. Heading to the plate, Dickey, the throw, safe. De Los Santos couldn't get a tag on Jared Dickey and the Bandits take a 4-0 lead. Pineda up to third, Dickerson to second. And things are just going from bad to worse for Carlos De Los Santos. See if that's ruled a wild pitch or a pass ball. Either way, a run for the Bandits. Now, another pitch to Rockefort. Ground ball up the middle. It's under the glove of Graham into shallow center. Pineda scores. Dickerson stops at third, and the Bandits tack on another run. It is 5-0 Quad Cities. Well, that one could be a hit or an error. It's scooched underneath the glove of Graham, who got the leather on it but couldn't stop it all the way. You do have to consider he was playing in with the runner at third base, so less time to react. Either way, Quad City's starting to pour it on. There's still nobody out. Runners at the corners for Carter Jensen. First pitch, down and away, ball one. By the way, it is officially a wild pitch to allow Dickey to score from third just a moment ago. De Los Santos with his first of the series. 1-0 pitch. Runner takes off for second. That's Rockefort, and he'll get in without a slide, despite the throw from Sebrion being okay. He's safe on what's going to be Carson's second bag of the year. The Bandits not really interested in sliding tonight, but it hasn't hurt him just yet. By the way, it is going to be an E6 on Peyton Graham. No RBI for Dickerson. Pitch to Jensen, foul back to the screen. I beg your pardon, no RBI for Rockefort. Dickerson standing at third. Carson at second base after the steal. 2-1 count on Carter Jensen, who has been phenomenal tonight. 2-for-2 with a homer, a double, and a pair of walks. The pitch. Fastball away. It's 3-1. And De Los Santos is having a heck of a time right now. Four walks, a wild pitch, no hits. He's given up two runs in two thirds. Not to mention the inherited run he gave up earlier. 3-1. Ball four. It's outside. Carter Jensen works a third consecutive walk, and Tony Cappuccelli has seen enough. West Michigan skipper is out of the first base dugout, and he is going to make a move to the bullpen. Carlos De Los Santos gets 2 outs to get the Whitecaps out of the Bandits' half of the eighth inning, but he does not record an out, facing five batters in the top of the ninth. We'll pause for a change. It's 5-0 Bandits.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Second time this week, the River Bandits will face the right-hander Matt Merrill, who enters in a not-so-enviable situation. Bases loaded with nobody out. Dickerson's at third, Rockefort at second, and Jensen at first after reaching base safely for the fifth straight time tonight. They're all loaded up for Trevor Werner, the three-hole hitter, the guy you want at the plate right now. Quad City's already in front 5-0. First pitch from Merrill. Ball and strike, lower outside corner, zone one. We saw Merrill on Tuesday. He also, like De Los Santos, struggled with his location. Didn't allow a hit, but gave up a run on three walks. No strikeouts. A one. Wave and a miss on a slider, nothing at two. Werner tonight, couple of strikeouts to start the evening, but then a walk in the sixth. And a single in the eighth. He eventually came in to score after stealing third and scampering in on a wild pitch to give the Bandits a 3-0 lead at the time. Merrill sets, 0-2. Fastball, got him looking. Outside half. Werner turns around and argues the call with Ian Durkin, but only momentarily. That's the first out here in the ninth inning. Tony Cappuccelli, I'm sure, relieved to see that. For De Los Santos, his final line not completely closed yet, but as it sits right now, two-thirds of an inning pitched, two runs, both earned. Allowed on no hits, five walks, and no strikeouts. Also throw a wild pitch in there. One away for Brett Squires, and the base is loaded. First pitch to him is low, ball one. Like I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, the Bandits will make up for yesterday's rainout with a doubleheader tomorrow, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. If you join us here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. 1-0 pitch. Called strike at the knees. It's 1-1. Squires hitless in the ballgame. Cleanup guy is now 2-for-10 in the series. He has walked twice, including his most recent time up in the eighth inning. 1-1. High fly, shallow left. Charging in Mendoza, the third baseman Soretti going out, and he can't make the catch in foul territory. It's off his glove. Again, the wind making everything in the air a challenge tonight, especially on those plays that are usually typical or textbook pop-ups, I should say, in foul territory. We saw Andrew Jenkins struggle with one of those earlier in the game. Now Soretti has one go off the glove. Highly doubt that'll be an error, though, but we'll see. Merrill with a new baseball sets at the glove, or at the belt, rather. 1-2. In the dirt, past Cibrian. The Bandits are going to get another run. In to score Dickerson. It's 6-0 Quad Cities. Rockefeller to third, Jensen to first base. And West Michigan just cannot get out of these final couple innings. Now with six runs on five hits. It's just been that kind of game for West Michigan. Ben Sears once again up in the Bandits bullpen trying to stay warm. 2-2 to Squires. Line to center. It drops in front of Stevenson. In to score Rockefeller. Jensen stops at third. It's an RBI single for Squires in a 7-0 Quad Cities lead. Things are going well for the Bandits tonight. They're finally starting to get some production with runners in scoring position. It's been their bugaboo throughout the first five games of the year. But tonight, with a bigger lead, perhaps some pressure being taken off the shoulders of the hitters. Eighth man to bat in the inning for the Bandits. It's Spencer Nivens. And at the corners, one out. He'll take a fastball for strike one. For Squires, it's RBI number one. Nivens picked up his first RBI with a sac fly in the eighth. 0-1 for Merrill. Fastball at the knee, strike two. Matt, 25 years old, as we talked about earlier in the week, signed as a minor league free agent with the Tigers back in 2023 after he started his career in the Astros organization. 0-2, fouled over the left side, out of play. Some time with both Fredericksburg and Wilmington back in 2021 and 2022, respectively, for Merrill. Let go, eventually signed by the Tigers. He's now here in West Michigan. 0-2, in the dirt, squirts away from Cibrian, but not enough for Jensen to score. Squires, however, will move up to second base. Another bad throw, the third wild pitch in the inning for West Michigan. And a base hit for Nivens could net him a couple more RBIs. Bandits ended up in this black hole of wild pitches earlier this series. You feel for the Whitecaps pitchers right now. It's a tough place to be. 1-2, fouled away by Nivens. pitch, perhaps low and away, but close enough to draw a swing from Nimitz. Presumably, Ben Sears will pitch the bottom of the ninth for Quad Cities. Biggest storyline of the game is that the Whitecaps don't have a hit, but the Bandits will not stop hitting themselves, or at least not stop scoring here in the top half. The bench. Off the glove of Sabrian, back to the screen. Jensen scores. Squires goes to third, and that one's going to be a passed ball. That was just a straight-up miss by Sabrian, who's making his second start of the year for West Michigan. It's now 8-0 Quad Cities. Runner at third, still just one out. The pitch to Nivens. Outside, it's a full count. There's nobody warming in the bullpen for West Michigan. And my guess is if they have to move away from Merrill, who just entered two batters ago, it might be a position player. Full count. Left-handed batter awaits. The pitch from Merrill is low. Another walk. That is the fifth in the inning for West Michigan, and the second in the game for Nivens. Well, the team on base percentage is going to go up for Quad Cities, that's for sure. The team average, not a ton, certainly a bit, but on base percentage is going to be probably top three in the league, maybe the top in the league after tonight. Now here's Cale Emshoff, the ninth man to hit in the inning for Quad Cities. He'll take a slider, that's at the bottom of the zone for a called strike. Eight runs tonight. The most Quad Cities has scored in a game this season. The pitch. Swing and a miss from Emshoff. Nothing at two. It's also the most runs they've scored in an inning with five. And it's led 1-0 from the fourth inning to the eighth inning. Things have turned in the Bandits' favor. 0-2. Fouled out of play on the right side. It's one of those things where you look at the scoreboard and it's 8-0 Quad Cities, but they only have six hits. And yeah, the Bandits are getting some hits in there, but it's not like they've just been peppering these West Michigan pitchers. A lot of the mistakes have been self-inflicted by the Whitecaps. 0-2, breaking ball, grounded to short. Graham's got it, flipped to Anderson at second for one, on to first, and the inning comes to a close. Not before Quad Cities brings nine guys to the plate. They score five runs and lead 8-0 with a shot at history in the bottom of the ninth. Ben Sears looking for three more outs for the 13th no-hitter in River Bandits history.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Bottom of the ninth here at LMCU Ballpark. Ben Sears, the new pitcher for Quad Cities, leading off Jose Cibrian. He'll take outside for ball one. Well, the Bandits were in quite a pitcher's duel until about 5 minutes ago. Now they lead 8-0. They have just one hit, rather got one hit in the top of the ninth inning and scored five runs to balloon the advantage. And now they're looking for three more outs to nail down the 13th no-hitter in River Bandits history. Cibrian fouls one off to the left side at strike one. Nine-hole hitter for the Whitecaps is 0-for-2 with a ground out and a strikeout. Pitch from Sears. Soft ground ball up the middle, past the diving glove of Pineda, and into shallow center field. Jose Cibrian had a wild pitch charged to him, or rather a pass ball charged to him. Several wild pitches, and just altogether a forgettable top of the ninth. But he ends the bid for an 0-0 with a seeing eye single up the middle in the bottom of the ninth. That's the second time in the last 2 years Quad Cities has had their 13th no-hitter taken away with a base hit in the bottom of the ninth inning. So now Sears can take a little bit of weight off his shoulders as he faces Seth Stevenson, parking one outside for ball one. Whitecaps leadoff man hitless with a walk tonight as Sears hits Stevenson. That was up around the head. Sears immediately walking out. There was no intent there, obviously. Unfortunately, it looks like Stevenson was just hit on the shoulder. Take a look at the replay up here in the booth. Oh, my. Yeah, right on the left shoulder. But had he not turned his back, that could have been serious trouble. So good to see that it'll probably just be a bruise for Seth Stevenson, who's had a really solid series. So now runners at first and second with nobody out for Carlos Mendoza. Of course, the shutout still in play for the Bandits as the first pitch to him is a bit low, ball one. Now, 2 seasons with Quad Cities for Ben Sears, the 23-year-old from Providence, Rhode Island, spent the vast majority of the campaign in Columbia, but did pitch once for the Bandits last year. Next toss, a called strike to Carlos. It's 1-1. Sears was really, really good for Columbia, a 3.21 ERA in 61 2/3 innings. He's going to step off the back of the rubber here. He also pitched for the Bandits in 2023, or excuse me, his one outing for the Bandits this year, just a few nights ago, scoreless frame for him. His 2023 outings with Quad Cities totaled up to 5, I beg your pardon. 1-1. Drive to center field, but Rockefort's going to play the wind to his advantage here, making the catch for the first out. Cibrian's going to advance to third base. So Stevenson stays put. It'll be runners at the corners with one away for Max Anderson, the three-hole hitter. 0-for-2 with a walk tonight. Like I said, he has been arguably the best hitter in the Midwest League to start the year. But Quad Cities has kept him in check. Ben Kuderna got him to bounce into a double play in the first inning, and that started a string of 16 in a row retired before Kuderna gave the reins to A.J. Block. First pitch, fouled towards the West Michigan bullpen, out of play, strike one. Anderson from Kansas City, Missouri, as I mentioned earlier. He's got the sports glasses on. Long navy sleeves. I think everyone's wearing long sleeves tonight. You're crazy if you're not. 0-1 slider up and away. It's 1-1. Make sure you stick around for tonight's River Bandits postgame show. We'll go over all the scores in the Midwest League, including an extra game thanks to all the rainouts that occurred yesterday. 1-1 pitch. Wave and a miss. Great slider from Sears. Had Anderson chasing way outside. We'll also check in on the scores from around the Midwest League, or rather the Kansas City Royals farm system. Nobody has finished up just yet, so there's still plenty of baseball going on, should you care to listen to some more after the conclusion of this one. 1-2 pitch, off from first goes Stevenson, and it's fouled off at the plate. Stevenson will go back. Would have been defensive indifference anyways. Fireflies on top of Myrtle Beach still, although the Pelicans have scored a couple of times in the seventh. It's 8-6 Columbia at Segra Park. Sears with the 1-2. Soft fly ball right field. Dickey makes the catch. Sprinting back for first Stevenson. He'll get there. The throw goes to the plate, and Cibrian will score on a sack fly. So the shutout, not going to happen for Quad Cities tonight. It would have been their second of the young season, but a sack fly from Anderson gets the Whitecaps on the board. Now that's what the best player in your lineup does. Puts an end to any kind of historic or memorable finishes. Whitecaps one run on one hit tonight. Obviously, Isaac Pacheco still at the plate, but there are two outs. And Sears is just trying to get this last out as more or less a formality at this point. Off for second goes Stevenson. First pitch is grounded to short. Dickerson's got it. The throw to first is in time, and the ball game is over. What a terrific pitching performance for Quad Cities. Ben Kuderna, A.J. Block, and Ben Sears hold the West Michigan Whitecaps to just one run on one hit with two walks and 11 strikeouts. The River Bandits get their first win at LMCU Ballpark since 2019, and they get their first win this week to improve to an even 500 on the young summer. Your final score, 8-1, River Bandits over the Whitecaps. Your River Bandits post-game show coming up next. Stick around on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Final time tonight, we welcome you back to LMCU Ballpark here in Comstock Park as the River Bandits pick up their first win of the week and get back to 500. They beat the Whitecaps 8-1 on the arms of a tremendous pitching performance by Ben Kuderna, A.J. Block, and Ben Sears, who combine for 9 runs of 1 run and 1 hit baseball. They also bring in 11 strikeouts to just 2 walks. Some of the best pitching we've seen for Quad Cities this year, and that's saying something given some of the performances that Quad Cities has already put together to open up the young season. Here's the final line score for you. Quad Cities, 8 runs on 6 hits with no errors. They get the win despite going 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. Still some work to do there. They strand 7 on base. For the Whitecaps, 1 run on 1 hit and 2 errors, 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. They strand 3 men on base. The win tonight is going to Ben Kuderna, who was absolutely tremendous for Quad Cities. He puts together arguably his best performance in the Midwest League. He goes for 6 scoreless, hitless innings, allows just 1 walk, hits 1 batter, and strikes out 7. Even more impressively, that walk and the hit batsman were the first 2 batters of the game for West Michigan. After that, Kuderna retired 16 straight en route to his first win of the year. He's now 1-1. The losing pitcher will be Garrett Burhead, who in his own right was very solid tonight for West Michigan. He just got no run support. Burhead, in his second start of the year, goes 4 innings, allowing 1 run on just 2 hits with no walks and 5 strikeouts. Some really good stuff for him, but the Whitecaps did not play to run until the bottom of the 9th inning. Of course, no saves. A hold has yet to be ruled, but potentially one to A.J. Block, who was phenomenal. 2 scoreless innings, no hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. He got out of danger big time in the 7th inning. He had runners at first and second with 1 out, and he strikes out Isaac Pacheco and Roberto Campos, the 4 and 5 hitters, to help nail down the victory. Ben Sears came on for the final 3 outs in the bottom of the 9th inning, trying to pick up the Bandits' 13th no-hitter in franchise history. But Jose Cibrian, who had a miserable top of the 9th inning, has a seeing eye single go through into center field for a knock that ends the no-hit bid. And eventually he comes in to score on a sac fly for Max Anderson, who picks up his 3rd RBI of the year. So the Whitecaps do get a run. They avoid the shutout. They avoid the no-hitter. But the Bandits do get their first win at LMCU Ballpark since 2019, back when the Bandits were an affiliate, a single-A affiliate, I should say, of the Houston Astros. We're still waiting for everything to go final in terms of time of ball game, but I can tell you the attendance tonight, very solid despite not super comfortable conditions, to say the very least. 3,178 through the gates here at LMCU Ballpark. Right on cue, there's the final box score. The final time of the game. Oh, well, not there. How about that? First pitch today, 6:38. It's now 9:25 Eastern time, so not quite 3 hours. Even my journalism school math can figure that one out. Coming up tomorrow, we will have games 4 and 5 of this 6-game series. Remember, yesterday's contest rained out and postponed to tomorrow. Should be some really good pitching matchups in store. It all gets started with Game 1 at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have your pregame show underway at 1:50 here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Steven Zoback will get the ball. The right-hander will make his 2nd start of the year, his 1st on the road. He'll go up against Jaden Hamm for the Whitecaps. And then in Game 2, Quad Cities will turn to Henry Williams, who put together a scoreless outing in his high-A debut. Dylan Smith gets the ball for West Michigan. Again, 2 p.m., which was the originally scheduled time for Saturday's game, is Game 1 of the doubleheader, and then approximately 30 to 45 minutes after the conclusion of Game 1, we will have Game 2. And of course, as is the case always here in the minor leagues, that doubleheader, 7 innings for each game. So Game 1, 7 innings. Game 2, 7 innings. We hope you tune in and join us as the Bandits officially hit the weekend here in this trip to Grand Rapids. Let's check the final scores, or rather take a final look at the scores from around the Midwest League. Not everybody is finished up, and as we mentioned earlier, there are a couple doubleheaders going on. The Peoria Chiefs got a huge win over Beloit in Game 1 of their twin bill. Final score in that one, 12-4 at Dozer Park. They've yet to begin Game number 2. Over in South Bend, the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers and the Cubs finished their Game 1. Wisconsin beat South Bend 1-0 despite being out hit 6-2. And Wisconsin leads by that same score in game two. It's 1-0 in the bottom of the fifth. This time the Timber Rattlers are out hitting the Cubs 5-2. A really good game happening in Fort Wayne, where Lake County leads the Tin Caps 7-6 in the bottom of the seventh inning. And in Cedar Rapids, the Colonels and Dragons are in a pitcher's duel. Bottom of six there. The Colonels on top of Dayton 2-1, looking for their third straight victory. The only other game that's a single game that's gone final was at Jackson Field in Lansing. The Lugnuts got a win over the Loons. Final score 9-3. Both the Loons and the Lugnuts now 3-3 after the Lansing win tonight. Still action in the Kansas City Royals farm system. All three other affiliates, full season affiliates, I should say, still playing. The AAA affiliate, Omaha, gave up four runs to Grinnett in the top of the first inning. They're behind the Stripers 5-2 in the top of the sixth. A good pitcher's duel is going on at the AA level. The San Antonio Missions, though, lead the Naturals 2-1 in the bottom of the fifth over in Texas. And at Sagra Park in Columbia, the Fireflies lead Myrtle Beach 8-6, bottom of the seventh, currently underway over there. So make sure you tune in with John Kosis, Sean Mernon, and Nick Batters to get all the rest of the Royals minor league action tonight. And of course, we'll all be back in action for our usual Saturday matchups tomorrow. But the Bandits playing an extra game, so double the fun when you tune into the River Bandits Baseball Network. That'll pretty much do it for our broadcast tonight here at LMCU Ballpark. The wind is still howling, and I'm not looking forward to my walk out to the bus, but the Bandits get their first win here at LMCU Ballpark this week, and it's a convincing one. Final score 8-1. The offense, nothing all that impressive tonight, with the exception of Carter Jensen, who reached base in five of his five plate appearances. A double in the first inning and then a solo homer, which was the difference in the game for the longest time. The solo shot in the fourth inning gave the Bandits a 1-0 lead, and the score would stay that way until they'd scored two in the top of the eighth. After the homer, Jensen walked three times, which of course we've seen him walk three times in a game before. Nothing crazy for the Royals' number 11 prospect. He's got some tremendous plate discipline. Also an RBI for Spencer Nivens with a couple of walks. His sac fly brought a run in the eighth, but that's it. As far as RBIs go, until the ninth inning, Brett Squires with an RBI single as the Bandits only hit in that final frame, in which they scored five runs to help ensure the 8-1 win tonight. Okay, now we're officially done at LMCU Ballpark. Wherever you tuned in from tonight, thanks so much for joining us here for Game 3 of the series, Game 6 of the season. And we are officially at the halfway mark on this trip to Grand Rapids. We'll see you for the doubleheader tomorrow, 2 p.m., your first pitch for Game 1. Steven Zoback on the hill against Jaden Hamm. My name's Kyle Kirchival. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow right back here on the River Bandits Baseball Network.